The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. We're in the throes of the downtime in between the last OTAs, mandatory minicamp, and the start of training camp, which reminds me, we'll have an announcement at 1:30 regarding training camp.
Okay.
So 1:30, you want to be listening?
Do you want to share anything
first?
Give us some hints.
Well, it's regarding training camp.
When news breaks, we break it. Patriots.com radio. So,
after someone else puts it out there.
So we'll have it at 1:30. But Paul's here.
Good news, Freddie.
Yeah?
No Andy today.
No Andy. It's the summer Andy.
No mindless arguments between you two.
Well, some people like that. So, Eric's here. Pepe's tweeting, and Kevin's in the booth. So first things first, we had the party on Friday.
A good party.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought
you
so.
Tell me.
I thought so. I loved the Dells.
Dells cart
that
was there.
A huge hit. I was a little disappointed he left so early. But well, I guess he ran out of Dells, huh?
Oh, he didn't run out. That's all I paid for.
Oh, what you paid for, like an hour?
Oh, it's an hourly thing?
2 hours?
Yeah, well, I think I only paid for an hour, but he stayed longer than that.
Fred also taught everyone the proper way to eat Dells because many people were
chastising. He was chastising many. I was right there with you.
You don't eat Dells with a straw or
no.
a spoon.
And
you
why was the Dells guy handing out straws?
Well, I guess some people do. I don't know, but you don't do that.
Yeah. Freddie, your best party ever. I told you this yesterday. Your best one. You've had many. You've had many. But that was the best one. Combination of everything. Food, weather.
Yep. Weather.
Attendance.
Attendance.
Yep. Good, a lot of people.
Good time had by all.
Yeah. A lot of people. So it was good. We had fun.
It was good.
I want to thank David Silverman for,
DS
Picks. By the way.
Making a fool of me.
You got to check out this picture of Andy Hart jumping into the pool holding his nose.
What a punani.
Oh, my goodness.
How does it compare to the famous Tom Brady down the water slide photo?
It's a little bit more manly than that, but not much.
Not much. I mean, he's the legs up with the nose being
Why
held.
Is he plugging his nose?
He, like, killed my kids.
Did he?
Like, if you look at the picture, he has to land right on Will.
Yeah. Why is he holding his nose?
Well, is me, Will,
and all that.
Me, Andy, Will, TJ, and Jackson, Andy's son.
Yeah, Andy's son.
We were all going to hold hands and then jump into a cannonball at the same time.
Yep.
And then we start running 3, 2, 1, and everybody, like, jumps. And it's kind of staggered because you couldn't all go in at the same time. But you see in the background, Jackson's just standing there. He had no intentions of jumping in at all. And Andy has his nose blocked because he's...
I
don't understand
why,
that.
Why is Andy
why would he do
block
that?
It, Fred?
Because he's a...
I know that part, but, I mean, really, why is he...
Some people can't help the water going up their nose. They don't understand. You breathe out, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. That's Wow.
That's just poor to me.
That really is.
What a big baby. So... But he said
so
he had
Silverman actually posted some photos of that on my Facebook page. So those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, you can see those.
Why don't
my
you,
fat belly hanging out.
Why don't
out.
You pass those along to the website? PFW in progress.
I don't think he wants it out there.
It wasn't necessarily in favor of them.
Well, maybe we can crop out you and just put the Andy part.
It's okay. It's okay.
It has to get out there.
They can see them. I'm sure those guys are friends with me on Facebook. They can get them if they want them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was good. There were no fights.
It was a good time.
No fights.
It was a good time.
You guys played bocce a lot.
Bocce, yes. Yeah. Big hit.
Yeah. Food was
good. Love the bocce. Food was excellent, as usual.
Yeah, I was still eating that over the weekend.
Oh, yeah? You have a lot of leftovers?
I still have some Dells in the freezer, too, which is good.
I saw you take a thing of Dells with you when the guy
sure,
left.
I made sure I had the cups, too.
You can't have it in a glass. I mean,
yeah. It's good slush.
Turns out the guy that was running the Dells cart, I know his brother.
From?
From lacrosse.
In typical Fred fashion, there's always a connection.
Actually, his brother was an All-American lacrosse player.
Really?
And I think it was FBU.
Wasn't that BU?
Because they didn't have it.
They don't have it.
Where did he go? I'm not sure where he went. Someplace in New England. But he was an All-American lacrosse player. And his brother runs the franchise for Southeastern Mass, I guess, or something like, out of Attleboro.
Wow.
So, very interesting.
Fred, it's a small world.
Did you end up ever playing wiffle ball?
No, we couldn't because we had the big...
It was too crowded.
The tent was in the way.
Yeah.
Because...
You could hit line drives off people's faces.
I wanted to make sure it didn't rain, so I ordered a tent. Because as you do that, it means it won't rain.
Well, the tent was valuable.
No, it was, too, for the sun, for the shade. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really hot, too, so...
I'm sure the listeners are thrilled now.
It kept the food
Sounds
out
like
of
a great
sun.
Party that I wasn't there.
But Fred's got some filthy knuckleball action on his wiffle ball.
No, did you see him sweating as he started to try to throw the ball harder and harder?
And I was just catching it, and I was pouring sweat.
I was ready to go.
As always, Kevin was working hard.
Right. We just didn't have enough room, really.
No.
To,
excellent front. The front yard for the bocce, though, was perfect size.
Yeah. Yeah. It was made for bocce.
It was.
Yeah. All right. So we had that. And then, Paul, you've been engaged in a lot of fighting the last couple days. Right? Phone fighting?
Yeah, I was annoyed. I'm annoyed with
What's going on? You spend a lot of time.
My car loan holder is annoying. Evidently, I got home yesterday. I had a voicemail and a bill through the mail saying that I am past due on my car loan. So.
It's funny because it's almost like they're treating him like he's some delinquent who never pays any of his bills.
Right, I get double barrel on the same day. I get the letter and I'm like, oh, well, this is obviously a mistake. Then I look at my phone and I have a blinking, it's a voicemail there. Sure enough, it was them. So I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out because I don't want it to be on my record. I don't want my credit rating to get affected by it and end up like Kevin Collins. whatever, one of these young ne'er-do-wells. So
you're not paying attention in there?
Okay. I before I called the place, I wanted to make sure. I knew, I looked at my checking account and I saw that I had recorded it, but recording it in my checking account doesn't always equate paying the bill. So I wanted to make sure I didn't just record it and never actually go online and pay it. So I look, and Fred is you're my witness on this one because you've done the same thing at times. Sometimes you can pay a bill by accident to another company. You're intending on paying AT&T, and by accident, you send it to Verizon.
Or the one that was A next to it on the list. This is, we're
you
talking
send it
e-bills.
To American Express instead of AT&T. Whatever.
Right.
So I look in. Sure enough, I paid the right company. So I have it here. Now I call. Long story short, I say, and I'm understanding, they can't just take my word for it that I paid for it. I said, well, I have it. It was credited out of my checking account, so I paid for it. What do I need to do now? And they said, well, we need a copy of your bank statement. You need to fax it to us. So I said, well, I have it right here online. Can I email it to you? I can sort of just kind of cut and paste it out of here. I'm looking right at it right now. Can I email it to you? Puts me on hold for at least 3 minutes. the music does da 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 da. Come back. I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? Like, you can't get email? So now I venture into PFW in progress, Paul Perillo now, where I'm really, really annoyed.
There's tone.
And I had a tonality problem. So the guy is like, and it was a guy, by the way, before you start yelling at me for yelling at a woman. The guy's like, well, we can't do that. I was like, well, so now I got to find a fax machine? I mean, and now I'm really annoyed that they wouldn't just let me email it so I could get this taken care of.
Right.
So I go, so I have to venture back to the Stone Age and find a fax machine somewhere? I mean, I don't even know where I can get
a fax
machine.
No tone there.
I guess they think that's more secure, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
So anyway, I was on the phone with them for about 10 minutes, and they said, and they give me one of those, well, sir, is there anything else we can help you with tonight? So I say, yeah, you can get this taken off my record. I paid the bill. And you're not getting another payment from me until July.
Right.
So they're just like, well, would you say you were satisfied? And so I said, no. I'm not satisfied.
Right. And I hope you're recording this for customer
Well, they did.
Service.
They said that at the beginning. Right. I said, no, I'm not satisfied. I'm not getting my questions answered. And I don't understand why you can't, you know, make a rich. So anyway, I had to fax it this morning. So I faxed it. Of course, they gave me the wrong fax number, which there's always a possibility that I recorded the wrong number, but I'm pretty sure I had it read back to me, and that's the number she gave. Anyway, I had a call to get the proper. Today it was a she.
Yeah, right.
Today it was a she. I had to call to get the proper number, and she gave it. The last two numbers were transposed. So possibility that was my error. I didn't give anybody a hard time over that one. So now today I said to her, I said, well, I'm faxing this right now. Can I receive some sort of confirmation that it's been received and resolved? Because I don't want this, like I said, I don't want my credit rating being affected by it. Well, why don't write down on it that you request a callback. It'll go right to the accounts department. That's that fax machine. I said, okay. So I put a little cover letter on it to explain why I was sending this random bank statement. And that was at about, I don't know, 10 o'clock this morning. I haven't heard anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
They couldn't wait to tell you that you missed a payment.
Exactly.
But
twice.
They can't tell you
in two different forms.
Yeah.
So now no one, do I call back and go through the same rigmarole where I'm going to have to, like, in order to talk to someone, I have to answer like six questions. Like they need to know my cell phone number, Fred. Why do they need to know my cell phone?
Why do I think that this is going to escalate into World War III?
It's going to escalate.
Fred, why do they need to know my, like, I called last night from my home.
Right.
And the guy that answered said, okay, this is in regards to your 2008 Honda Accord. I said, yes, it is. They knew exactly from my phone number.
Is that a new car?
No. Oh. 2008, is that a new car?
Well, for you.
Really? Really?
Paul's getting angry.
So they knew right away, you know, they got my account called up right away. So they say, we have just a few questions. You know, and I understand it's a security thing. They want to make sure that some random guy is not calling from your phone. I get it.
Right.
So, you know, your billing address, this, that. Then they're like, where are you currently employed?
Oh, come on.
And I'm like, why do you need to know that?
No, they don't need to know that.
Don't egg me on.
Yeah.
Don't egg me
they
on. I'm wound up enough. You don't need to egg me on. Right. Then they, you know, your cell phone number. Like, they asked for my home number.
Oh, now they're running a scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure that this was the right company? This could have been a phishing incident.
They have your bank statement. They have your name, where you're employed. You better check your accounts.
So it's unbelievable. Why do they need to know all this stuff?
My kid lost his wallet. Turns out that not only did he have his license and his bank card, he carries around a Social Security card.
Oh,
so
great.
Now
you
could just create a new identity based on finding this kid's wallet. So we had to go through that whole thing.
Does he get a new Social Security number?
No, you have to put an alert on his Social Security. If anybody tries to open an account in the next, like, 60 days using that number, you get alerted. It's ridiculous. So, well, Paul, I don't think we've heard the last of this. This is going to get worse.
Well, it wasn't a complete stranger. Because I get on the next flight to Green Bay and find
next month
that
you're
going to
get a double bill, and they're going to be saying you have –
Late charge.
Well, that's what I got. Doing with me.
That's what I got today. Yesterday.
Yeah. No, it's going to get worse.
Now, here's the other thing, Fred.
Yeah.
It's a 5-year loan, 60 payments.
Right.
You know what payment this was? 51.
Ha!
So I said, like, I got off the phone, and again, I understand they can't just take some guy's word for it, but I'm thinking to myself, this is probably like a billion-dollar corporation, Santander.
Santander. They took over
Spanish
Sovereign,
bank.
Right?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Who's the sponsor?
They took over
the
Sovereign. Right. Yeah, it started at Sovereign, which I think might have something to do with this because of the confusion there. But it's been over a year since it's changed. Whatever. So the guy he's looking at my history, and he says, no, I see that you've made all the payments. You've never had a late payment. And after I hung up, I'm thinking to myself, you'd think that he would say, right. Okay, why don't you just email it to me?
Right.
Make sure that I can look and I can say, and then he's thinking, what's the worst that can happen is my company's out $455. Whereas this guy is giving me $23,000. It's right there. I have the history.
Right.
He's made the 50 previous payments.
Right.
This is payment 51. Like, yeah. What are the odds that I'm trying to screw him over $400?
Great. A little human element into it. You know,
that's my point.
Is that so hard?
Is that so hard, Fred?
All right. Well, that's what Paul's up to these days.
But you know what?
Yeah.
He's upset.
I'm a white Italian Catholic, so you're allowed to take advantage of me.
Oh, here we go.
Don't!
Patriots re-signed James Ahedebo on Friday.
Right.
So they have one roster spot left.
That's correct.
We're thinking maybe it could be Andre Carter.
Would make sense.
Yeah. There's reports that... That's going to happen. Who reported that? Was that Pro Football Talk? One of the websites said that.
I mean, people have been speculating
more like he's going to be re-signed, and I think that's good. I like having
the
him
fact
on
that he was spotted at Gillette Stadium recently. You know, lends some.
First of all, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
just for that alone,
great
I'm glad
guy.
I
he's
want
in great shape.
Yep.
You know, you talk about the age, but you know he is in top physical condition, so you don't have to worry about that as much. So
how about your girl Venus going?
You got
on
the Wimbledon going on here.
Yeah, Venus went out early. No excuses.
Venus, if you will.
So Wimbledon going on, and I guess there's another guy that was highly regarded this year. They got knocked out in the first.
Isner?
Round. No, not Isner got knocked out, but it begins with a B. I forget. So, but
Bobrovsky.
I don't really get going until like the second week. You know.
Never mind.
The second week of. The second week of the fortnight.
Fred, how many rounds are there in this tournament? Because it seems like they play forever.
I think it's 16, isn't it? Oh, no.
No,
I mean,
it's
eight.
Four,
eight,
five, six,
eight rounds.
I think there's seven rounds.
Seven rounds?
I think it's, yeah, because I think you go to the, you have to win the fourth round, and then you go to the quarters, semis, finals.
So you have to win like seven matches.
Seven matches,
like
I think you have
so,
to win.
10 days,
2 weeks.
Maybe? 2 weeks? That's still a lot.
I'm sorry.
The fortnight.
A fortnight.
A fortnight's
fortnight.
2 weeks?
Yes.
Right. That's a lot of matches.
It is.
Well,
it's
that's
grueling.
Pretty much all the yeah. majors are.
French Open was like that too, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the majors weeks? Are the same way.
That was only 2 weeks though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up, Paul.
But getting back to the Patriots,
they might be douches, but they're not pretentious douches.
Getting back to the Patriots, obviously they're still out doing whatever. No one's here unless they're here on their own accord.
Yep.
But word is out that Tom and Giselle have sold their condo.
In the back bay. Yep.
The one that I told Dante Stallworth to look into
getting
moving
the keys.
Into.
Yeah.
So that's been sold for over $9 million. So I assume that they've got another place around here.
They're not going to be living at the end zone.
Yeah.
It's that's
just Giselle at the end zone.
The stories in today's paper said that they're still renting in the back bay.
Oh. Okay.
So they're not.
So they had two apartments.
Well,
in the
Albert
back there.
Albert Breer.
Well, maybe now they maybe they found one now that
Albert Breer tweeted out that they live in Brookline.
Why is this of such?
I don't know.
Big importance.
I
like
don't know.
To be. It's noteworthy that they sold their condo, whatever. But why is it like? Why are people tweeting about like with? I don't know.
Because they have nothing else to do. Their lives are not that important.
Like
that's
whether
why.
Tom Brady. I mean, if you want to tell me like Tom Brady has bought a house in like. You know, Kansas City, and there's rumors that the Chiefs are going to make a trade for that to me is relevant.
Mm.
You know, whether he's living in Back Bay or Brookline or, you know, the South Shore, I mean, does anybody really care?
Well, I like to know that during the season he has a certain level of permanence here. I know that, you know, they're going to probably.
He's not going to commute from the West Coast.
I know that.
Really?
I know they're probably going to bring their kids up in California, I would assume, after they built that monstrosity
out
there.
You would think. I think there's a chance you never see him again when he's done with the Patriots.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Is
he'll come back for his Patriots Hall of Fame thing.
If he doesn't have a permanent residence here, you know, one
you
that
think?
He owns,
yeah.
You know, there's less chance that once he's done here, whether that's. When he officially retires or...
When he's done here, he's done here.
Yeah, which is too bad.
And people need to just face that now.
Well, I mean, to us, it's too bad.
He's a Californian.
That's what I mean.
But we love it here. I mean, not everybody does.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Sure, I do. But, you know...
Yeah.
You don't love it here?
I could live somewhere else and be happy, too.
Where?
So could we.
Where would you live?
No, and if you live somewhere
else. I'm very adaptable.
Where would you want to live?
Fred, I'm very adaptable too.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
I could
live
anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah, as long as it's 10 minutes from where I live now.
Right.
Tops.
No, I could live pretty much anywhere,
In the U.S. or outside the U.S.?
I probably could. As long as it's mostly English-speaking, I think I could adapt.
I could live in San Diego.
Yeah.
San Diego's fantastic.
Who couldn't?
I could live in San Diego.
Yeah. What about San Francisco?
No.
I could live in San Francisco.
Why don't you like San Francisco?
It's a very nice city. I wouldn't want to live there.
Well, I'm curious. Why?
Not the same climate, not the same temperatures.
Okay,
you're more of a beach guy.
I could be that far away from everybody if I had the absolute ideal weather every day of the year, which to me
San Diego is pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty much what you look. Southern California is what you're looking for. Yeah,
but yeah, I couldn't see myself moving too far away.
What about Hawaii?
Back in my 20s, I used to say I wanted to go meet an agate guy in a Hawaii newspaper.
There you go.
When I was working agate at the Herald, because all the games would be over. It'd be like 5 o'clock, and you'd have your night.
Sure.
And the games would be over, and it'd be noontime.
Right. These are the kinds of nonsensical things that you think about at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're waiting for the LA Dodgers to not go into extra innings like they did every single time I had to work the 7-3 shift.
Mark
and the Dodgers played 10 games a year on the road.
Mark in Nova Scotia
games a year.
Now he's mad at the Dodgers.
He just brought back a pet.
Who's he arguing with?
Mark in Nova Scotia was wondering if Ray Ray was at the party, and if so, was Eric in full Mac mode?
Ray Ray was at the party. Mm-hmm. Eric and Fred at one point were both taking a run. I'm
Fred
not sure
was
how
not
that.
Taking
oh
any
God,
runs.
it was ridiculous. At one point,
were you taking a run, Fred?
I don't think so.
right until his wife showed up.
Christian says the
then you got all uncomfortable.
The iPhone mobile app is down. Maybe Chris Ferreira, if he's listening, can take a look at that. I'm not sure what that means.
Chris Ferreira was at the party.
Chris was there with Tony, his son. So
we're all in the pool.
You missing some stuff?
That was my one complaint. Not complaint, but observation, Freddie.
Yeah.
Just don't understand how some people dress for a summer outdoor pool party.
I know. It's just like, come on, you know. At least pretend like you're going to go in the pool.
Well, listen, whether you go in the pool or not, I have no problem with that. But, you know, like Eric, I don't think you went in the pool. Did you, Eric?
I half went in the pool.
But Eric shows up properly attired.
Stick your feet in.
With a T-shirt, shorts, flip-flops.
Right.
It's the summer.
Exactly.
And we're outside, and we're enjoying the weather, and we're enjoying the water. You had at least three or four people there in long sleeve shirts, long pants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Denim, no
like
less.
Like it was the middle of the winter.
Kenny Keller showed up in, like, a dark shirt and jeans and shoes, and he's like, well, I didn't know. No one told me that there was a pool. I'm like, yeah, but you knew it was outside.
And
you knew
it was summer. He claimed he didn't
know it was in the middle of a heat
outside.
Wave.
Like, if you had told me that it was inside your house, you had no yard and no pool, I still would have worn shorts and a short sleeve shirt.
Right, because it's summer.
It's the middle of the summer,
and
by the way,
degrees.
It was three straight
three days
of oppressive heat.
Oh boy. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, next.
See, I told you could get me one.
Next year,
today.
Maybe he'll get it right. All right. Food's here. Oh, where'd he go?
Food's here. Producer isn't.
But after we take a break after food,
yes.
I saw the Avengers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I saw the Avengers, and I'll give you my
get review. Get a review? Okay.
I'll give you my review of the Avengers.
Not yet seen Ted?
Is Matt going to take us to break
Ted's
here?
Ted's not open yet, is it?
I think it opens Friday.
It's this weekend?
I'll definitely see
you're gonna
Ted
go
when
see
that
it?
Comes out. All right,
really?
So, yeah.
Does that not just look like the silliest thing?
Oh, it looks. The lines are going to be hysterical. It's from the guy from The Family Guy.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a break. We'll
be
right back.
The guy from The Family Guy.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch. Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, it would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
Yeah. It's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys, Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took the ring. What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, and we'll get to some of those emails that are coming in a moment. We're talking about everything today because it's a little quiet here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots did sign James Ahedebo on Friday, and there's rumors. During the party. That broke. PR department arrived and had to do work while they were at the party. Other than that, it's pretty quiet here. There's no news of Gronkowski out doing stuff or, you know, Wes Welker being tackled at an airport or...
He got married.
Good for him.
Speaking of Gronk, he was at... you guys were talking about the movie
Ted. Yeah.
There was a picture of him with Mila Kunis. Picking her up in a nice big flex and holding her up for everyone to see.
Well, I mean, it's Gronk's world.
I heard it was a different actress that he lifted up and not her.
Oh, wasn't? I thought it was her.
No, I think it was a different actress.
I did see a picture of him with her.
He did take a picture with her, though.
Yep. So, but guys are doing their own thing right now, so there's not a lot going on here. We will have an announcement at 1:30.
Abilo!
Regarding training camp, so we'll make that announcement at 1:30. So stay tuned to the show. Bilo's just walked in.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him.
I think he needs to defend himself.
He's just looking for lunch or something? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Well, is this news to you?
No, not at all.
I was asked to jump on.
Oh, okay.
I said, give me lunch and I will.
Bye.
The producer.
Really?
Yeah. How about that?
Bilo, you need to defend yourself.
Way too many
critics out there.
And you have to tell your story, too.
Yeah, I had a good story.
A story?
Well, first of all, what do I need to defend myself about?
Yeah, Bilo needs no defending.
What
he was one of the few who chose not to go into the pool, but yet showed up at a pool party properly dressed.
That's not what I was talking about.
Short sleeve shirt, shorts on.
Can we?
That's not what I was enjoying the summer sun.
That's not at all.
He needs
not
apologize.
That's not what I was talking about.
Thanks, Eric.
Not bad. Can I throw Scott Barboza under the bus too? Because
sure.
I thought he was he took the lead for worst dressed.
Oh yeah.
He was wearing jeans and he rolled up the bottoms up like halfway up the ankle. It was
all like
bizarre.
Tom Sawyer style.
It was bizarre. Well, yeah, Paul, I didn't at all expect that I'd need to come in to defend myself for my attire or any
or comportment
at what was a tremendous and lovely barbecue. Thanks, Fred. But I was told that I need to defend myself for my appearance on the radio last week, which, listen, if people want to write in and say that I was terrible on the radio, that's great. Keep listening. Keep listening. That's fine.
No, Bilo. The answer is F them.
I would never do that.
F them.
I would never
that's
do that.
That's the answer.
However, I actually do have a story about my radio appearance. I was at Foxwoods over the weekend for a bachelor party. And a nice young gentleman.
Did you take a chance? Did you make it happen?
I took a chance. I did not make it happen. A wonderful young gentleman. I was waiting outside a restaurant. Hey, are you? You're Bilo, right? Oh, hey, I love listening. This guy was just all in on everything we do, video, audio, and mentioned. You know, hey, I don't know. I listened to you on the radio the other day. I don't know why people thought you were so bad. And it just kind of, he said that. And then the next words out of his mouth were hot dogs and sausages. I told Kevin the story earlier, so I figured he'd probably have that queued up. Out of nowhere. I mean, we're talking about, it's so neat that you're here. Oh, you love watching the shows and listening to the radio and all that. Hot dogs and sausages. That was the next. So too bad Andy's not here, because I figure he, of all people, would probably enjoy that the most. So the moral of the story is, at least one listener was okay with my appearance last week.
And
way more than one.
And it might have been one.
There was an emailer,
It may be.
For sure when you said, and the next words out of his mouth were, is Andy Hart really that much of an a-hole?
That was the third time.
And your answer
telling
was,
you,
yes.
Every time someone comes up to me.
Eric, I would never lie.
That's true.
I would never lie.
No, you wouldn't.
I say the same thing.
Well, why would I lie?
Absolutely.
Is Andy an a-hole? Yeah. I mean,
absolutely. I say the same thing.
One of the biggest you'll ever meet.
Pretty much when it comes to questions about someone personality that I work with, there's no more cut and dried answer than to the question, is Andy an a-hole?
Yes.
I mean,
Uvenal writes in, I just turned off the stream, not listening anymore. Thanks, Bilo.
Hey, the effect I have on listeners, huh? Kick me out. I'll take my lunch.
But Brian in Essex says, I had no problem with Bilo's appearance on PFW. I thought it was nice to have an additional perspective of the Patriots OTAs and everyone who says Bilo talks over other people. Have they ever listened to PFW before? The entire PFW crew spends the majority of their shows talking over each other. Anyway, thanks for your analysis, Bilo.
My pleasure.
So Bilo's here. He's got.
So what are we talking about?
Did the email actually have a burp in the middle of it, or did you add that?
No, that was editorial.
That was just good mozzarella sticks.
I was just editorializing there. But before the break, I teased that I had seen The Avengers.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And it's getting a lot of play. It's
still in the theaters?
Yeah, it's been number one for quite a while, made a lot of money, and good thing, too, because I guess it was very expensive to make. And I love superhero movies. I'm really into those.
Being one, you like movies about.
But I was never into the whole Avengers, concept where all these certain superheroes get together. So, this is kind of the first time I was exposed to that concept. And I thought it was good in that they did a very good job in explaining how and why they got together. So that was good. The special effects were amazing. I think the acting was great. Morton Downey Jr. steals the show.
But him and his big mouth.
But the one thing I think it was lacking was, I think in these superhero movies, the villain is always as compelling as the superhero, you know. And I think that the whole villain story was a little lacking in Avengers. You know, it was the return of Loki, who was from the Thor movie, and
I'm just looking at Paul's face right now. He couldn't be more disinterested in anything you've ever said.
You know, we get that Loki's, you know, bitter, and he wants vengeance and all that, and he lived in the shadow of his you know, stepbrother Thor. But I don't think there was enough of the villain part, but I understand that they had to get the story out of the way of why the Avengers got together and how they got together. So that was the main thing. But I just thought the villain part of it was a little lacking. But overall, definitely a must-see movie. You know,
isn't Thor a god?
What?
Isn't that like the Thor story? Isn't he a god?
He's a demigod,
I didn't know that they had step-parents.
He's a demi-more? Yeah.
What?
Well, Loki was sort of adopted by Thor's
Demi-Thor.
Father.
Okay.
Yeah.
Demi-Thor.
Yeah.
No, my kids liked it.
Yeah.
My kids liked the movie a lot.
Does Scarlett Johansson...
It's not a movie for adults?
No, I'm not saying that
That's
at all.
That's what you're saying. You're taking a shot.
If you recall, did I not do some research before I let my kids see it to see if it was actually
too
much?
Does Scarlett Johansson reveal anything for us?
No.
That's too bad.
No.
I wasn't taking a shot at you. A lot of people like those superhero movies.
I love them.
I'm not a big fan of them, but a lot of people, I'm in the minority. A lot of people like those movies.
I'll tell you, the Batman movie, oh, I can't wait to see that. The Spider movie, But the Batman movie, I can't wait to see.
The Facebook kid's not doing it for me with the Spider-Man thing.
I had a dream last night, Fred, that I was Batman.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was very strange.
Was it
story
really
time
hard?
With Kevin Collins.
In that dream, did the Patriot situation with the Super Bowl, had that not happened yet?
There was no football.
So you were happy?
I was happy.
In this dream. That's
and
good.
And I remember...
I'm glad for that.
No, but he was shaking his head at 4 in the morning going, "Wow, the superhero thing, it really
oh,
is
man.
Tough.
You're going to go to the Super Bowl. I've been 60 hours. Yeah. You know, today.
You know how you wake up when you have that feeling of falling, though? I was Batman, and I was jumping out of a window.
Do you ever have that dream when you can't run?
No, I've never had that one.
No, what's the matter with you, Paul?
But I was, you know, jumping out the window onto a rope and going down, like, you know, 100 stories, shimmying down on the rope, so I was falling really rapidly, and I woke up, and I was like, this isn't for me, this superhero stuff.
Okay.
Tech of a dream.
Well, we think you're a superhero here, Kevin, and with all the work that you do.
Thanks, Fred. Paul almost just choked.
Nick in Victoria writes in.
Good for him.
Since Paul's having such a great day, I thought I'd say your article on Troy Brown in the paper was great. I thought it was the best article of the month. The other part of the article, the stats on punt returns, was quite eye-opening. Seeing Julian Edelman's name at the bottom of the list with the best return average and only one TD short of the Patriots' record was surprising. So my question is, why even bother trying out all these other guys, such as Woodhead? Why not just give Edelman the job? He's got the stats.
Well, he has the punt return job. We're talking the question that we were discussing the day was the kickoff returner, which it's two different skill sets. It may seem like it's just, you know, catching a ball and
completely
running with it,
completely different
it's
set of decisions you
yeah,
have to make, and
absolutely.
And I mean, there's more challenges on the punt return, but a lot of different challenges and a lot of different roles, you know, associated with the other 10 guys on the punt or kickoff return. It's a completely different play. So I think they need at this point to have several candidates for both jobs because you don't know which guys are going to make the team based on the rest of their roles.
Right.
So you might say, I mean, okay, we might say Julian Edelman has a very good chance of making the team, but have stranger things happened? I mean, you need to have several different guys in that role. And when you have 90 on the roster right now during mini camps and then during training camp, you're going to give multiple guys a shot at it because you just don't know how the 53-man roster decisions are going to shake out.
Edelman gets hurt a lot.
And he hasn't been as effective on kicks as he has been on punts.
Right.
And Bilo's right. I think that he's probably pretty safe
because
he's so versatile.
I do,
too. But he's not a lock.
No.
So you need to have some other guys, and this is the time you do that. And Bill has always done it that way. He's always given a lot of guys opportunities to get the ball in their hands on in camps like this to see how they react and respond. I found it interesting there was some different guys this year, like Devin McCourty back on kicks, Patrick Chung handling both punts and kicks, something he hadn't really done since his rookie year. I found that part of it interesting. Guys that have been around for a couple of years that haven't done a lot of that all of a sudden were getting chances. We're used to seeing rookies come in and sort of get thrown to the fire, and then and Bill sort of makes his determinations whether or not they have what it takes to do that and if they can earn the trust.
And this team, you know, drafts a lot of defensive backs, and defensive backs a lot of times in college are also return guys, and same thing with wide receivers. So you end up getting in your rookie class, you end up getting a handful of guys who have maybe significant experience returning punts or kicks in college, so you might as well give them a shot because they've done it a little bit. But it also has to do with what will this player's other role be on offense and defense? If a player is projected to have a large role on offense or defense, maybe you don't want that guy to be the primary kickoff or punt returner just because of workload and wear and tear.
The argument against that, though, is Ellis Hobbs.
Who was
your starting corner.
Starting corner, yeah, of course.
Who was also injury prone, but he was also your best kickoff returner, and you couldn't help but put him out there.
Yeah.
You had no choice, really.
If that's how it shakes out, that's fine, too. But it's too early to know how it's going to shake out, so you can't read too much into all these different guys getting a shot. I mean, Stallworth got a shot, right? And many can't. I mean,
no, you can't.
You can't put much stock.
Brent says B-Lo is worse than Pepe.
Okay, now I've got to take a stand here. I mean, now we're getting into
Higgins
territory.
And Hopkinson says, I don't know where all these B-Lo griefers are coming from. I think he's a great analyst. He gets very in depth into the football nitty gritty. I'm a big fan, Brian. Don't worry about the
take
rest.
Take that, LaPan.
Don't worry about the rest
of the
throws.
Okay, the guy who hates me hates you more.
keep dishing the in-depth football analysis.
Will do.
In-depth.
That's two now.
This roller coaster ride of emails is starting to, I'm starting to get a little nauseous with this roller coaster ride.
Brian also says Loki from the Avengers was the baby of the leader of the Frost Giants. After Odin defeated them, he found the child on the battlefield and took him and raised him as his own son next to Thor.
This is my personal favorite part of these shows.
Well, I think the backstory is important.
No, I'm talking about the email was coming in to add to your synopsis.
The other thing, the movie in
that's
no way follows the Avengers'
phone?
Actual storyline. That's the problem why the storyline was rather thin. Additionally, Scarlett Johansson wasn't wearing anything under her outfit, as reported on shortly after the filming of the movie. She wore very tight pants.
Hmm.
So apparently she had no underwear
on. So do
very tight shirt.
So, I mean, she's a good-looking woman.
Yes, she is.
I would say.
That's big of you, Scarlett Johansson. She's a good-looking woman, I would say.
I would say.
Al writes in. He says, it's Al from Italy. Have you heard it that Ochocinco said on a Twitter that the problem with the New England is he didn't know the playbook? Yes, we did hear that. There was a
breaking
source
news
from Miami that said that was his explanation, that he just never grasped the playbook, which...
No, no surprise there.
What else is he going to say?
That's along the lines of Scarlett Johansson's a nice-looking woman.
Right, exactly.
Not new information.
But if that wasn't
not an opinion,
problem,
fact.
If that wasn't his problem, then it was physical, and he can't admit to that. So, of course he's going to say he never grasped
that's a good point.
Did you hear
Brian?
What he sent out to Roger Goodell, saying he's going to be a problem this year?
Right.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of the second time he's done that now.
But... Right, he says he's going to be a problem in the sense of touchdown celebrations and all that. Well, you know, let's start getting those stats up there before you start worrying about the end of the play. You know, let's get the beginning of the play, you know, receiving the ball, getting into the end zone, then worry about the touchdown celebrations, which are going to lead to monetary donations to Roger Goodell.
But he said also to contact Dolphins management for the fines.
I'm sure they're thrilled about that.
Well, he also mentioned that in his open letter to Goodell earlier where... Yeah, he said that, get ready because I'm going to have a lot of, you know, fines this year. But we'll see. I mean, they don't have much else down in Miami, so he does have a shot.
Listen,
as long as
is he going to catch more than 15 passes?
Yes.
Probably. But that doesn't mean he's going to be any better than he was with the Patriots.
Is he going to have the impact?
I don't see it.
What I can see is the Dolphins saying, you know what, okay, we're going to make him the centerpiece of our offense or the centerpiece of our passing game. I could see them doing that, and whatever it takes, whether it's dumbing down the playbook and maybe with Ryan Tannehill there, they're going to have a very non-complicated playbook as it is. I could see it working out. I just don't know if he's the difference maker that he could be to get the Dolphins into position to contend in the AFC East.
There's no way.
No, but they might they might gear the offense around him.
No, they won't.
They might try to do that. They might try to do that. Make him a star down there. They're all about stars.
I'm with you.
They're all about stars down there.
I don't think he has the physical tools to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like he did in Cincinnati.
I think they're gonna try to make that happen.
They might try to force the ball to him.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they'll tailor their offense.
The Jets, Buffalo, and Patriots would be happy if they did that.
I don't think they're a threat, with or without Ocho making an impact.
So you don't believe Carlos Dansby said that they're a Super Bowl defense or whatever it was?
I think that they have the makings of a decent defense. I do. I think that it's not going to show because they don't have the rest of the team to protect it. You can't be a great defense on your own. You know, some of those teams that used to play in San Diego back in the day, you know, they have these great – they have a terrible team, you know, win two or three, four games, and they'd have a great rank. That's really hard to do because you're on the field so often in bad spots. And a lot of people – matter of fact, Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune said that once. Well, one of the reasons why they were so good in – yards, the defense, I think it was like 2 years ago, they were number one in yards. Yeah. They didn't make the playoffs. It was because the offense turned the ball over so much on the plus side of the field that the other team didn't have to drive very far to score. So that can be kind of deceiving. You allowed 40 yards, but a touchdown.
Yep. Cody writes in, he was trying to whittle down the team to the 53-man roster. So he's looking for some help. So pick one to keep and one to cut. Ready? Pick one to keep, one to cut. Cunningham or Scott?
Cut Cunningham.
Wait, Trevor Scott?
Yeah.
Scott, we have to keep somebody?
Yeah.
Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree as well. Yeah, definitely Scott.
Devil you know.
Done more in his NFL career, still young, and they pursued him quickly. In
okay, usually when we answer these,
just the name.
Quick.
Okay, Fred, just the name.
Below.
Great,
okay,
great. Right. I can do it.
Moore or Sterling Moore or Will Allen?
Well, you know, when you start talking about Sterling Moore.
Well done, Bilo. Well done.
Is this the same guy that does these all the time?
No, this is Cody from Nova Scotia.
He's very good. This is very good. He always picks very good ones.
Okay.
I'm going to say Moore stays. Going to go with the youth.
But they're based on what we saw in minicamp, and I know...
Eric, did you not just hear the rules?
No.
I did.
Yeah, but no, those rules were for you, not for the rest of us.
Really? Okay.
Based on what we saw in minicamp, Allen was playing more safety, whereas Moore was kind of Moore's a cornerback.
They're not going to be starters though, so they're all backups in this scenario.
I think
I think that's two really really good ones to choose.
All right, I'll go with Moore.
I'll go with Moore, assuming that I like what I see out of Rozai Dowling and the rest of the cornerbacks.
I'll take Allen.
Okay.
Well, I'm not allowed to give a reason, but I'll take Allen.
I went with Moore, but I'm always intrigued by your reasons.
You'll never know.
Not exactly sure what Rozai Dowling has to do with it, but
Ron Brace or Myron Pryor?
Pryor. I think there's a good chance both go, but
yeah,
I would
too.
Keep Pryor.
I have to say Pryor.
Pryor.
Even though he's hurt all the time.
Pryor.
Connolly or Copen?
What's Brace done?
They both stay.
I know they both stay, but if you had to pick just one.
Connolly.
I think Connolly,
younger.
More versatility.
Plays Conley. Three positions adequately.
Branch or Britt Davis?
Branch.
You put Britt Davis on the practice squad?
You know what?
Yes, but we're talking 53.
This is 53-man.
You can, but Branch. We're talking 53.
I'm tempted to say Britt Davis because he would have something that no other receiver has, and that's height over 6 feet.
They've got a couple. I mean...
Not really.
Gaffney is over 6 feet. Over 6 feet.
I mean, the roster listings are always taller than the actual size.
But
of
if
the
it
player.
Was just about
well,
the size
how
around
tall
here,
is Lloyd? Isn't he about 6 foot?
He's listed
but
as
he's
6 feet. Yeah, he's
so
not
he's
much
not
more
six
than
feet.
That. But if it was just about the height, then we'd be. Okay. It's not just about the height.
What if it was Gaffney or Branch?
Gaffney
says
Gaffney.
Gaffney.
Okay. Woody or Adai?
Damian Woody?
No.
A die.
Woody Woodhead.
Keep a die.
I would keep a die.
I might go. I'm going to go Woodhead.
I'm going to go Woodhead too. And Boyer or Mallett?
Boyer?
I think he means Hoyer.
Josh Boyer?
Josh Boyer?
He's versatile.
Boyer or Mallett?
Hoyer.
For 2012, Hoyer.
That's what.
Yeah,
that the
yeah,
question?
Yeah. No, it is.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Excellent
it is.
Job. I'm sorry.
Yeah, help yourself. You were about to explain yourself, Bilo.
What was the emailer's name?
Hard.
Cody.
Cody, excellent job.
Thanks a bunch, guys, and screw you, Andy. You kind of pissed me off with the girlfriend comment, but now that's out of the way. It's all good. Love what you guys do. You're definitely keeping me going at work. So
whatever.
I
want to
thank that guy who emailed in, by the way, and commented on the Troy Brown story. I didn't thank him. That was nice of him to say.
Yeah, very nice. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, where Joey is sweltering in Florida, actually getting drenched. Hey, Joey.
Thanks for taking the call, Fred.
No problem.
Yeah, I am getting drenched. It's been raining here and it's nonstop and just flooding. So, but you know, it's all good. It's just minor.
Are you safe?
Oh yeah. It's just heavy rain and kind of windy, but it's fine.
What part of Florida?
I live in Northport. That's in between Sarasota and Fort Myers.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else, Eric?
No. That's it.
It's a question, but it's really I want your guys, you know, Paul, Eric, D'Lo, nice to talk to you.
Well, thanks.
I'd like to get your opinion on something. I'll kind of preface the whole thing, give you the scenario, what led me to want your opinion on this. So it's the off season, and you know I read everything, and I'm on, you know, I check everything out. I'm online, and I was on the past fan message board, and someone posted one of these polls, you know, and the poll was, what's the best, you know, vote for what you think was the best off season move, and you know all the usual suspects were there. The reacquiring of Josh McDaniels, trading out for Jones and Hightower, et cetera, et cetera. And so facetiously I put down as a reply, D, all of the above. But that leads me to what I want your opinion on. You guys are perfectly positioned to give your opinion on how would you rate this offseason looking back over the year? You see where I'm going? Like, give it a grade this off season.
So you mean compared to other years, or compared to the rest of the NFL?
No, compared to other years for the Patriots.
Compared to other Patriots off seasons.
Right. In other words, I think it was a really good off season. I love the draft. I like getting Josh McDaniels back. I love a lot of these pickups, the free agents. You know, so you guys have the luxury of being there up close and in person, personal, to see every year in and out.
I think so far we love what they've done. You know, it starts with the draft and going heavy on defense and going after, you know, that edge, those edge guys. Well, actually, Hightower's not really an edge guy, but, you know,
front seven.
Yeah.
But I know what Joey's point is. We've been excited about off-season moves in the past, and how we relate this off-season to some of the other ones that we've had.
Well, I think if you add in Josh McDaniels coming back and all the thing, I think so far, I do. I think so far you would say, wow, this is a real productive off-season that's going to contribute to yet another Super Bowl match.
Give it a grade. Well, A plus.
A minus.
I'm gonna give them a B minus because
he's negative.
No, because it's not like they went out on defense and got Julius Peppers and Patrick Willis and real bona fide impact players. They were right. Lukewarm. They got career backups in free agency.
Right.
In Scott and Finene, who have flashed at times as starters. And they got a couple of guys. I think they waited a year or two too late to trade up in the first round to get the pass rushers that they desired. So I give them credit for making the effort to get these guys, but the guys they got still have a lot to prove, and I'm not sold yet that they're going to be very impactful.
Well, obviously, there's a second rating of what this offseason is, and that's once we see it all happening. But just based on what we've seen, I think it was a very productive
I'm with Fred. I'm more up to A minus. I think sounds good to me. I'm with
and I'll
Fred.
Listen up. Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, okay. Joe.
All right, Joey.
And, you know,
thanks for the call, Joe.
I think that all together, you total the moves,
Kevin. Wake
and
up.
I think they're. I think Eric's point about the defense is valid. I think that we think they made some good moves, but we don't really know. And we don't have guys that we have seen dominate at the NFL level that have come in. But I do think...
Well, think of last year. You know, they brought in Ocho Cinco and Haynesworth, and we were like, oh!
Well,
if these guys
that's what Joey's question was.
That's the thing. I was way more excited last year about getting Andre Carter and Albert Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco than I am this year. But if these guys end up being more productive, then great.
Right.
But as far as being excited about who they got...
what would you have given last year's grade?
Oh, last year, I would have given them an A+.
Right. You have to give me the credit for that one. I was the only naysayer on those. I thought those two moves were useless from day one, Ocho and Haynesworth.
But it's also the different perspective of you make those moves on August 1st, and it's a completely... You know, we were coming
that's
at it from
point.
A different perspective of they, you know, nothing happened in the offseason, so anything like that was going to be exciting. Now, this year... I give them high marks for quantity, aggressiveness, both in the draft and in free agency. But I do think that you agree with me. I give it a B+ because I feel like the need for defensive difference makers. We obviously won't know until they're on the field, both in terms of Jones and Hightower and Beckett, and also in terms of Fanene, Steve Gregory, the guys that they pursued in free agency. But I think that they went after. I like the decisiveness that they had early in free agency. They're not going to go. We know that it's rare where they're going to go after the number one guy in free agency at all. But a couple days into free agency, they let all these Vincent Jacksons play out and Mario Williams and all that. And we could debate whether or not they should have pursued these kinds of guys. But they had a plan. They knew exactly which guys they wanted to bring in. Which guys would fit them. But what is still remains to be seen is, do they have these difference makers on defense that I think they need? Offense, like Paul said, I expect them to be the number one offense.
They're going to be very good on offense. Yeah, they're going to be very good on offense, and we know that.
So
they've ostensibly added to it with Brandon Lloyd.
Correct.
So I have no worries about that.
With Lloyd,
worry about left tackle. Just because I thought Matt Light played so well last year, it'll be hard for Solder to play at that level. But I have no worries about Solder individually. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. And I think he has the potential to be a better player than Matt Light was.
Yep. Sure.
But I don't know if he'll be a better player than Matt Light was last year.
Well, I had some concerns about the offensive line as well, which I brought up last week and was pretty much shot down on those. But that had
I don't have concern about the offensive
line.
But
that just
overall,
had to do with just that more had to do with the fact here on June 26th, there are a lot of questions in terms of availability and what roles are going to be. That could all be shaken up, and it could all be resolved by September 9th. But I give it a B+ for the offseason, and a lot still remains to be seen. How do these guys fit in once they play the game?
Fred, once again, I have the highest level of enthusiasm for the Patriots.
Yeah. Mr. Right. Enthusiasm.
But yet, you know, your buddy Rich will write in pretty soon and rip me a new one because... You know, I think the Patriots, what they've done over the last 12 years is the greatest era of dominance in NFL history. Somehow he has worked that out to be a negative comment.
Bilo, when you mentioned the date, June 26th, it just jogged my memory. Do we have to wish happy birthday to somebody in the room? Belatedly?
From yesterday?
Yeah.
What's that?
You're 62 now?
49.
Your birthday?
49. Like 8 years in a row.
49 once again.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Happy birthday,
thank you,
Fred.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Aaron in Los Angeles writes in, do you see the possibility of Belichick putting Spikes, Vollmer, and Mankins on PUP to increase roster spots on the defensive line and linebacker?
Spikes, Vollmer, and Mankins?
PUP.
You don't get roster spots for that.
Well, PUP on the first day of training camp is a completely different animal from PUP on the first day of the regular season.
Correct.
So
right.
If a guy, you buy yourself a lot of time in terms of, you know, if you put a guy on PUP on the first day of training camp, all that means is he's not ready to play in camp right now. There's no negative doing that.
But if you want to put him on PUP for the season, he has to be on PUP.
So, the strategy,
you don't get a roster spot for it, though.
But the strategy for teams is, let's say there are six players on the roster who are not quite 100% ready, and you think, to Fred's point, that there might be a need to put them on PUP. You start them on the first day of camp on PUP, and then if it becomes clear 5 days later, 7 days later, 2 weeks later, that regular season PUP is not going to be a need, then you jump them right into training camp and you have them go. So, I think if those guys, any of the guys who we didn't see at all during minicamp, are absolutely possibilities for training camp.
But once the season starts, Paul, you get the roster spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. But then, you know.
But during camp, it doesn't matter. Right.
But the guys that he mentioned, you probably want them on your active roster at the start of the season.
But it's like the Jake Ballard. It's like the Jake Ballard thing. If the player is important enough to you, to your team, then the fact that there are 90 players, you're not worried about, oh, I really need a roster spot right
now. That's where the Giants, you know, sort of outfoxed themselves.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing a player. Now, time will tell if they lost a player of any significance, but it was a bad move by the Giants because they didn't, 90 roster spots is plenty, but if you do that with Spikes and who else did they say? Fells?
Volmer.
And Mankins.
There's a strong possibility that some combination of those three players will start training camp on PUP.
Yeah.
But it won't be to save a roster spot.
No.
How worried would you be if, say, Volmer started on PUP?
Started training camp?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I would have expected him to be there.
Every year.
I would only be worried about him if, you know, come September 4th or whatever the day is, that Saturday, with a if he starts the season on PUP. Then I might go over to B-Lo and say, you know what, B-Lo? I owe you a little bit of an apology for wanting to take a center in the first round.
I'm going to remember. Back to that. All right. Not bad. Every year we see... six, seven guys start training camp on PUP, and gradually, between day one of camp and the last day of camp, four or five of them.
Most of them will make their way back on.
Now, last year, I think they had three, correct? Falk,
Dederick, and Brace.
And all three of them.
Huh?
That's not bad at all.
How about
and
that?
And all three of them.
Plus an NFI.
Marcus Cannon. And all four of them ended up joining the roster within that
which
six
is pretty
nine,
rare.
Very,
which is pretty rare.
I think four players combined is pretty high relative to the NFL, and then for all four of them to all actually be on the 53-man roster at a certain point is rare.
Phil in England writes in,
Philip,
good afternoon, men of PFW and Flash and LePan. You will become a man again when you throw down with Brent in Illinois. So we'll be.
When did I become not a man?
Well, I don't know.
Well, when you were tearing up, evidently, last Tuesday because you were getting yelled at.
He just
turned red. You're gonna tell me I'm turning red.
He's turning red right now.
I'm into it. I turned red.
His bottom lip is quivering.
Now I wasn't here last.
It's more a pinkish hue,
it's,
like this.
It's matching the shirt.
So I didn't get to see it, but I think I'm getting the kind of.
I turn red very easily. I get embarrassed easily. I'll give you that.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know why, but I do.
How could anyone get
to it?
I'm used to being called fat, but I always turn red.
But it makes him embarrassed.
But I didn't. Makes me a little embarrassed.
But I didn't say anything about your weight. I mean, I'd be the last person to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't like being the center of attention, I guess.
Oh.
Okay, you like to be in the background.
Oh.
Maybe.
Are you going to cry?
Eric thinks I'm going to blow my head off. Fred thinks I'm going
to
cry.
Well, didn't you already refer to him as the guy in Full Metal Jacket, right?
Also, it was Fred that thought I was going to blow my head off.
What's the name of that guy?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
But anyway, Phil goes on to say, I don't know why, but I really like the signing of Ahedebo. Hopefully this season, with more bodies in the secondary, he won't be asked to play every snap. I think with limited work, he can be effective. Also can be very useful on special teams. I also seem to remember his name being called when he was with the Jets. And P.S., Fred, bring back the Veet reviews. I seem to think the only reason Fred keeps himself tidy down there is to make it look bigger. Well, you know, I think that, you know, there's no reason to be looking like Gorilla Monsoon down there, you know? there's no reason why, and Alex writes in, hey guys, right off the bat, love you all, especially Andy. I'm refreshing my email every 5 seconds because I'm waiting for my last grade of the semester that will determine whether I'm going to graduate or not by the end of the year and then go to school at the U.S. over at Baylor. I feel... I've drank 10 cans of Red Bull, and B-Lo talking as fast as Speed Racer isn't helping me. Love his enthusiasm, great knowledge, could really get used to him every Tuesday and Thursday on the show.
Wow. Now that's a first. Someone asking for more B-Lo.
Only if I slow down.
And Alexandra is from Brazil, and he's a male. Please don't call me a girl again.
Alexandra?
Oh, yeah. Andy was asking if Alexandra was hot or not.
Yeah. And he wrote back and said it was a...
Maybe from Andy's perspective, the question still stands.
You know what? That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
I would think that the name Alexandra, most people would assume it's a female, but lesson learned.
How is that spelled?
Alexandra. Dre at the
end. Oh, so it's probably Alexander, and you're mispronouncing it.
Or he misspelled it.
No,
I think he probably knows how to spell his own name.
I think that's probably the
why it was Dre mispronounced.
It's well, it D-R-E. Would be Dre if you pronounce it.
Okay, maybe it's Alexander.
But my guess is
it's not Alexander.
Theater in England is pronounced is spelled with an R.
Center school. Center could be R.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's I'm guessing is he how Alexander pronounces
his
name.
Could be a Brit in Brazil. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, and maybe he spent a fortnight deciding on how he was going to pronounce his name.
Back to the Wimbledon.
Flash.
That's how it's done right there.
Vladimir is writing in from the Czech Republic. He says, greetings from the Czech Republic.
That sounded like you're Italian, actually.
You've been doing a great job. Besides football, I can also get lots of information from different areas like medical stuff, philosophy, religion,
legitimately
geography. I really love it, but joking apart, since we have ceasefire on field of players and transactions, now I would like to ask you a question. 2 days ago, I watched again the AFC Championship against Ravens. In third quarter, Ravens touchdown by T. Smith. In the slow motion replay, it was clear that Ravens wide receiver was holding face mask of our cornerback. Is it legal? That action was under review for Smith getting out of bounds, but the referees must have seen face mask. Your thoughts? Thank you.
That could have been a face mask.
I think we did at the time talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, they can't just to be clear. No, they can't review that.
Yeah, he dragged him along. I mean, it was clear. That
I don't
he
think.
Had it.
I personally don't think it was a face mask, but they could have called a face mask on that.
Yeah, they easily could have.
I have seen it, but it's very rare to see an offensive player on a stiff arm get called for that.
Plus,
he did drag McCourty's face mask.
Plus, as a referee, look, would he have been able to stop the play if he hadn't had the face mask? Probably not. I mean, he was an arm's length away.
Right.
So I don't think that he could have made a play. So in other words, the face mask didn't affect the play.
No, but
I think it impeded it. It kept McCourty closer, I thought, because he dragged him with him.
Right.
Whereas
if
he had just sort of pushed him away, he would have knocked him to the ground.
But if the ref had thrown a flag for, you know, offensive pass interference, face mask, whatever.
Oh, that would be different.
You know, if he had thrown the flag, nobody would have said, oh, that's absurd, because the replay clearly showed that he had the face mask. But the fact that he didn't throw the flag, you can't go back and review it at that point and then call a penalty thereafter. So it's kind of a gray situation
there. Your Czech accent, was that Czech Republic?
Yeah.
It was very similar to like Arnold. Was that Austrian?
That was kind of French, Italian, and Austrian.
You were doing your best, though, to get the Eastern Europe.
Eastern Bloc,
right.
So I suppose if it was more like Arnold. Yeah, if it was like Arnold, I guess it wasn't terrible.
I was trying to go more Russian.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Yeah, it sounded more Russian.
Yeah.
Definitely had a tint of Russian.
Because you were dropping the determiners before there.
Right.
Determiners.
Right.
That's true.
Natalie from Pennsylvania says.
Let's hear the Pennsylvania accent.
Pennsylvania Dutch?
Actually, there is a very clear Pennsylvania
Pittsburgh,
accent where they say water.
Water as for water?
Water. And so there is certain things that I pick up on from Pennsylvania.
That's a little Rhode Island, too, isn't it?
Water. Did they say water, too?
Water.
Water.
Yeah. Well, you were dogging me the other day for saying watermelon?
Yeah. Water. Watermelon, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Natalie says, nobody's really talking about the NFLPA's conflict of interest. Don't they represent the victims as well as the perpetrators? I see no outrage about their dues-paying members being targeted in a way that threatens their careers. Only outrage about the criminals being unfairly punished. Thoughts? And she's talking about the bounty thing.
Right, the bounty thing. That's a good point.
Thanks for keeping me awake on my daily commute. Keep up the great work and F the Jets.
You know what it tells me?
Right.
The players are used to this. It's not anything new.
The bounty.
It's unfortunate.
Well, they might be used to it, but that doesn't make it right.
So it tells me they're not upset about it. I mean, look at the quotes that Brett Favre has had. Even I think yesterday he just said, the only thing I'm upset about is we lost the game. And by the way, they couldn't get me out of the game. They almost did, but they couldn't get me out of the game. I mean, if anybody would be up in arms about it, you would think it would be Kurt Warner and Brett Favre, and both of those guys are on the record as saying they had no problem with it.
There's been a few players that said, oh, they shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. But the culture is, you know, up about that.
But that's my point about why the NFLPA, I mean, they are representing the players, and the players on the bounty side of it don't really have a problem with it.
Right, but I think Natalie's point is just because the players involved don't have a problem with it doesn't mean that it's not a problem and it shouldn't be changed. The culture should be changed.
No, she's wondering why people aren't up in arms about the victims.
Of interest. Why
conflict of interest.
Why doesn't the
My point is there is no conflict of interest. They all think that the from the NFLPA side, wrongly, they think they're being persecuted.
Plus,
I think at this point it's pretty clear the NFL has reason to be persecuting them.
But really, they can't really speak up. That the NFLPA can't speak up about it, because if they all of a sudden did, now the league would be like, okay, but the players were participating in it and they, you know, collected money because of it. So do we have to delve in and to look at which players and how many players were doing it? You really don't want to open up that can of worms. So let's leave it at where it is. So that's why I don't think that the NFLPA is stepping up on the side of the players in the whole protection side of it.
Right. The one thing that's sort of been interesting to me has been Joe Vitt and how adamant he's been about not having been a part of this. It just seems to me strange that you would – I mean, it's pretty clear that the NFL has a lot of – evidence, right? I mean, we've seen a lot of paper evidence. Mm-hmm. Well, not that we've seen personally, but they've disclosed a lot of evidence. If there was stuff that was specifically indicting Joe Vitt, it would seem to be very strange to me that he would be as adamantly saying, "I did not do this." Like, I understand Jonathan Vilma, and I understand Hargrove and the players. You know, Vilma in particular, who made the comment that, you know, I worked, you know, 8 years to whatever it was to establish a career, and it got ruined in 5 minutes. I understand why they would say it. I mean, they're fighting to save their reputations. Joe Vitt doesn't stand to – he could lose a lot more being exposed right now as being a liar than he would have just taking the suspension.
Yeah.
Like, Sean Payton and Greg Williams, you haven't heard much from them.
No.
Well.
Right?
Greg Williams, I mean.
No.
No, but that's my point, Freddie. Yeah. They sort of, you don't think they're happy about this whole thing. They know that this is going on in about 26 other teams, and they're going down for it, but they're keeping their mouth shut.
Right.
Well, because I think they're only going to look worse if they fight it.
Well, I think the fact is there probably isn't evidence about Joe Vitt in particular, but the league probably
feels there
was. He was close enough.
To be. I think
he was close enough to it where he's culpable.
No, but he was. I think the evidence that we saw was that he was supposedly threw in, like, what was it, $5,000?
I don't know, something.
That was, I think, the evidence. And I'll,
you know what the whole basis of this whole thing is, right?
What?
They're claiming that they wanted to knock people out of games. They didn't claim that they tried to injure people. That's the whole. It's a whole semantics game,
and it's absurd.
I don't think it is.
Knocking people out of games and injuring them are not the same thing?
No. Not with a cheap shot. And you watch it, every single time they show the highlights, they show four or five big hits from Saints guys. Every one of them's legal.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there weren't other cheap shots that they didn't catch
but my point is, I think that the Saints deserve every ounce of punishment they've gotten. I think Greg Williams should never be allowed to coach again. I think Sean Payton deserved a suspension. I think it's tough, maybe a little bit more than I would, but I think he deserves it. I think they've been a very arrogant organization. I think that's part of the reason why they've been dealt with. So I'm not defending the Saints. I'm saying their point is, I think that their goal is to knock players out of games, not by grabbing a guy at the bottom of a pile and tearing his ACL intentionally. They're talking about tackling the guy so he tears his ACL. There's a difference. To them, there's a difference.
Well, yeah.
That's what they're holding on to. It's a Fred Paul semantic argument that they're trying to hold, and it's every bit as silly as a Fred Paul argument.
But I think the
this
Saints,
needs to just go away.
But I think the Saints aren't getting it.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Where there's a difference between wanting to do it and putting money on it. That's
why they deserve the punishment,
right?
Fred.
Right.
That's why they deserve the punishment. They're not playing, in my opinion, any differently than the other 31 teams are playing. The difference is they have proof that the Saints were being paid to do that. That's where the illegality comes
from.
I think that this is this uproar about intentionally trying to injure players when I think every player goes out there and that is their goal every week, is to hit the guy as hard as they can and hope that he can't continue to play. They want to do it cleanly. They don't want to do it so it's a cheap shot. Most of the guys don't want to do it as a cheap shot.
I wouldn't use that blanket statement for everybody.
Most guys don't want to do it illegally, but that's the goal. I'm telling you, if you put every single player on a lie detector test, Patrick Chung wants to knock a receiver out when he's coming over the middle. That's his job.
Oh, sure.
He doesn't want to do it cheap. He doesn't want to get a 15-yard penalty. He doesn't want to hurt his team. That's the goal for those defensive players, I think, in every NFL city.
Yeah.
But the difference is, They're being paid for it. That's why they're getting suspended. And they should be suspended for it. It's
and,
wrong.
And they lied about it.
Right.
Which is a huge part of Roger Goodell.
That's the arrogance of it. I have a problem with that part of it.
And yeah. Roger Goodell takes that into account big time.
Of course.
He should.
If when this first came out, they fessed up, then the penalties wouldn't be half as severe.
Right. They lied. They continued to do it over years. So, yeah, if from the very beginning the Saints – right, fessed up, stopped the practices, didn't say we were going to stop it and continue doing it, and didn't lie to Goodell, it would have been a completely different animal for coaches, executives, players alike.
Now, I hope that, because we play the Saints, obviously, and there's been a lot of talk. Joe Vitt has contacted the Patriots, you know, well, they've talked.
Yeah.
I hope that that's not, if the, they end up coming here.
Oh, that's going to be talk.
I hope that, but I hope it doesn't, I know it's going to be talk. I hope it doesn't dominate those 2 days of practice.
I would be
stunned
if it doesn't,
Paul. It will dominate. The only way it won't dominate is if Drew Brees is not with the Saints. If Drew Brees is not with the Saints, that story will dominate. Otherwise,
yeah, but that won't dominate us.
No.
We won't care about Drew Brees.
Our coverage.
The bounty is going to seep over into our coverage, which is going to, really stink.
There will be some of that.
If somebody goes down, like they twist an ankle.
Not only will that dominate, but Spygate will be brought back up as two teams, examples of two teams in recent memory.
Freddie now giving the national writers a theme
for
the first preseason game.
Do you really need to? It's not a much of a stretch. It's two teams who recently have been severely penalized by the commissioner. And it will be brought up. There's no doubt about it.
I want to follow up on a point that Paul made about how the players. A lot of them, I'm not going to say all of them, obviously, but a lot of them want to hit a guy so hard that he gets hurt and leaves the game. I don't see how they can justify or reconcile that line of thinking with the same line of thinking that they give us when the question is posed. Like, let's say they're playing Denver, right? And Manning, let's say, is hurt that week and can't play. And then the questions inevitably are, oh, you know, wouldn't you rather be facing Peyton Manning this week? Or no, aren't you glad Peyton Manning's not playing you guys this week, that you guys have a better chance? And the player's answer is always inevitably, no, we always want to play against the best competition. We don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. We always want to play against the best.
But do you honestly believe that they feel that way?
That's my point. How do they reconcile that with
Eric,
what you say,
Paul?
Here's
the thing.
Because I don't think they tell us the truth.
But here's the thing to Paul's point. I guarantee you, at least up to this point, and probably will forever as long as they're football, in every locker room before every game, they say, I want to knock his ass out of the game. There's nothing wrong with that. As soon as you start paying the guy,
I agree.
Then there's the difference. But
that's why they deserve what they're getting.
I mean, I know that I've heard on NFL films and those, you know, highlights when they wire guys up, I'm going to knock his ass out. I've heard that. There's nothing wrong with that.
But if you ask that guy in the middle of the week leading into the game, if he's glad that guy, he's going to say what Eric said.
Right.
Because that's
right.
Like NFL speak 101.
Right.
They never tell us the truth during the course of the week.
Right. So if
they're not telling us how dangerous the other team's offense is that has scored 11 points in 16 games.
So if they're not telling us the truth about that, then how do we know they're telling us the truth when they say?
Because their actions speak for themselves. They're out there like crazed dogs trying to kill each other every week. You telling me James Harrison's not trying to hurt people?
I'd like to finish the question before you answer
it. Uh-oh.
How do we know that they're not telling us the truth when they say that they're not getting paid for it? How are we supposed to believe that?
You have to have evidence.
Who's saying they're not? Who said that? That they're not getting paid?
We have the evidence.
Everybody says that, this happens around the league all the time, and all the other players are saying, you know, it doesn't happen on our team.
I haven't read that very often, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right? Bounties.
Yeah.
I haven't read a lot of players saying that we don't do that. I haven't read a lot of players do.
Well,
as a matter of fact, I've been
comment.
But I've been eerily spooked by how little talk there is by other players around the league on this, where it seemed like everybody and their brother had an opinion on Spygate.
Well, we all know that a lot of teams admitted that there is bounties not on hurting people, but interceptions, fumbles, big plays, just like they used to put the stickers.
Pay for
There's
performance.
Pools. Yeah. There's pools. I guarantee you, at least up to this point on every team, for certain things that they did in a game.
And they've squashed a lot of those.
Yeah.
Because that's just as illegal.
Right.
Right. It's salary cap violations. It's, that's just as much
a violation.
But as far
as talking about, you know, paying to knock a guy out of the game, I don't know of – I've never heard about – Well, no, I take that back. We have heard about a kicker being pinpointed. What's his name? Cronin was on the radio. Who does
that? Was like 100 years ago. Bounties were commonplace then.
That's what I mean.
That's when they put the rules in.
Yes.
In the early 90s.
So, but I'm just saying,
Buddy
that,
Ryan.
I'm just saying that, you know, there have been cases of, you know, guys having bounties on their heads, but
who was that guy, Eric? That kicker,
the kicker from Dallas
kicker. You're a kicker.
It was one of the Zendejas's.
Was it?
Yeah.
Remember, he was like wobbly going over the sideline.
Yeah, they
think it was kicker related. We go to Eric.
That's what I said. Yeah. He's the kicker. He should know.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, I believe it was Zendejas.
But you know,
one of them, because there were, you know, about 10 of them that played in the league.
But you know, to me that
none
that,
of them that could kick.
No,
that is, you know, that type of thing. And you're right. In the 90s, they put an end to that. Or you know, even if it hadn't been widespread, they wanted to stop it cold right then and there. But the whole bounties, even since then, we know that other than hurting people, they've been doing these pools for incentive pools,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
it's the same thing.
Yeah, the league lumped it into the same, you know, the same rule that you can't have that type of thing.
But to speak to, I think the point that you guys made, Brian made, other teams that have gotten sort of called onto the carpet for this stuff have fessed up, and they put an end to it, ostensibly, I mean, as far as we know. And that's why I think Green Bay was one. About 5 years ago, that was rumored to have been involved in something like this, and they stopped. They got caught, and they said, "You can't do that," and they stopped.
And the Saints said they were doing okay. You're right. We're doing it. We're going to stop.
And they kept doing.
And they kept doing it. And that was from the very, very top of the organization.
And they kept doing this recently. Which makes me wonder how many other teams say, "No, all right, you're right. Right, we're not going to do it," and still do it.
And that is why the punishments are as harsh as they were, because Goodell doesn't know which of the other 31 teams are doing it. But this is the this was a message to the rest of the teams.
I have no problem.
You better
not
problem with that either.
I wonder how.
Nor was I surprised
they got caught to this extent. And I know that someone had to blow the whistle on them, but I wonder how they got this much evidence on it in terms of the email and all this stuff. It's amazing to me.
Well, I'll tell you
why. Well, they put themselves in that position.
A former FBI guy is investigating isn't it like...
Well, once there was a sniff.
You're talking about the wiretapping.
Yeah, I thought that he was
investigating themselves for that.
Right. Once there was a sniff that the Saints,
with your
whatever,
boy Mickey Loomis,
09 or whenever it was that the league first got involved with the Saints and the Saints said they were done, that probably put a spotlight on the Saints the league put more emphasis on making sure.
But
the
that's
Saints
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, how stupid do you have to be once you know you're being looked at?
It's like steroids in baseball.
To
it's
give
like
yourself
guys who
a paper trail.
Right. Well, but that's part
and
of the
once
arrogance
you know you're
of
being
these
investigated.
Teams,
right.
And I'll include the Patriots in that. Up to this point, up to the Goodell era, there was a lot of, the memo says that, but...
wink and a nod.
Whatever. You know, now Goodell is holding them to that. You know, and it's the same thing that caught the... If the Patriots had stopped in 2006 when that Ray Anderson amendment to the rule came out in a memo, nothing would have happened. Obviously, that game at the Jets wouldn't have happened. But the fact is they said, it's just a memo. We'll keep doing it, you know? That's why they got in trouble. Same thing with the Saints. You know,
Do you like that?
What?
That it's worse because of that?
See,
I mean, when you're directly told not to do something and then you do it anyway, I don't care if you're the commissioner of the NFL or a parent.
Right. You need to be put in your place.
It's like, not only did you disobey, but you've insulted me.
Right.
You basically spit in my face.
Right. You didn't respect the authority.
Yeah. It's hard not to take that personally.
The Saints even more so, because they were directly told, you're doing this, you better put an end to it. The Saints said they would put an end to it, and they did. That's even beyond.
You guys are right. Yeah. You guys are right.
But, anyways.
Lauren writes that she's from New York City. She says, I've been hearing a lot of talk about on the show about the offensive line, but I feel like there is one spot that has not been discussed that concerns me most. If Nate Solder goes down or doesn't perform the way we're all counting on him to, who is the next best option at left tackle, and can we feel safe with the depth at that position?
Well, it's tied into Vollmer, because if Vollmer and Solder are both healthy, then, you know, there's your two tackles.
Right.
If one of those two goes down, Cannon becomes the next guy. So the problem is Vollmer, who has not proven that he can remain consistently healthy and has a couple of injuries he's dealt with over the last 12 months, I think I think it all ties into Vollmer more than if Solder goes down.
Depth at tackle could be a concern.
It could be, because then you'd have to go to maybe Robert Gallery.
Right, Gallery or your
that spot.
Right.
Or someone like Matt Copa, who comes out of nowhere. Not really out of nowhere. He was on the team all last year. But
they might bring in a veteran if it came to push. You know, push came to shove.
There could be the equivalent of Brian Waters. I mean, if only that player would perform as well as Brian Waters. But if during training camp there was a real reason to be concerned based on injuries with Solder, Vollmer, Cannon, then maybe you dip into the players who are cut, the veterans who are cut. But yeah, as far as their roster right now, healthy players at tackle, it's Solder, Cannon, Gallery, I guess, and Copa, because Vollmer hasn't practiced.
Sarah,
a guy like Kyle Hicks, who was here on IR last year, you know, generally when they keep guys like that around that get hurt, there's a reason. There was something that they liked, that thought was promising. I'm sure that he got a lot of work in off the field, in the program, you know, after the season. Maybe a guy like that's, we talk a lot about Matt Copa because, you know, I don't know if you knew this, Brian, but Dante, when I talked to Dante Scarnecchia at the Super Bowl, one of the rare times when we get a chance to talk to all the assistants, I asked him for a young practice squad type lineman that we don't know anything about that showed some promise. And Copa was the guy. He said, I'm not sure exactly where he fits, but there's something there. That kid can play.
And Dante works wonders every year.
Every year there's guys that we don't know about.
Right. And we're talking about, you know, Connolly. We're talking about back to Hochstein. And very light, you know, Copa or Hicks could be one of those guys could be the next one.
Sarah writes in. She says, it's been a long time since I've written in, but I'm always listening and I love the show. I just had to write in and give you a big thank you for the horrific mental pictures that were seared into my brain during your intense debate over the possible treatments of the various issues that you all have with your fat, hairy, and sweaty asses. For the rest of my life, when I hear your voices, I will no longer be picturing your faces, and I'm not happy. He's talking about the swamp ass reference. I'm sure that with continued counseling, I will recover, but seriously, I wish that was one that you would have had off air. Keep up the great, or at least mostly, great work.
Was that revolving around the breakdown of the barbecue before I came in?
This was a different show.
It wasn't today, and I really don't. Show. I mean, I didn't really. I didn't realize we spent that much time on it.
Well, we were talking about, you know,
it was the last 2 or 3 minutes of a show, wasn't it?
But we used the term swamp ass. I don't think anybody it's a great detail.
Well, Bill, have you ever heard of the product called Fresh Balls?
No, sir.
No, it's a legitimate product. It's real.
It's legit.
And it keeps you fresh and dry down there.
Oh, down there?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know.
Down there.
Down where?
The nether regions.
Oh, down there.
Yeah.
What are you looking at over there?
Freddie, do you endorse this product based on first-hand experience?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Well, keep it in mind. Fresh Balls.
Freshballs.com.
Let me write that one down.
Yep.
Oh, .com.
Yep. Okay.
Can I order online?
Yes, you can.
Great.
Only if you do so before midnight tomorrow.
Kyle writes in, have to give a shout-out to Andy for his piece on tight ends and running backs. Also a little surprised to see Bilo and Paul in the same room.
Why is that? We do TV together often.
Obviously not Patriots Today fans.
right. Has not seen our weekly segment with the two of us. Why can't we be in the same room?
Why can't I be the director?
Huh? Jim in Walpole says, Bilo's voice makes me want to gargle with bleach.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing I don't have to use my voice for anything I do here. It's a good thing I don't need my voice.
You're a lightning rod, Bilo.
You know what? But that's good for ratings.
Bilo, how's the process coming on Lindsay's replacement? Is there anything that we're at liberty to talk about yet?
There is a replacement.
There is a replacement.
I don't feel comfortable talking in depth because I don't know where
she
in that
hasn't
process.
Been told yet.
No, I believe she has. It is a she. We can say that.
It is a she. It has been accepted?
From what I've heard, yes.
That's good.
That's good.
I think we'll like it. I think we'll like the appearance.
Okay.
I think we'll
measurements?
Like measurements. I'm not at liberty to give the measurements.
Mr. Creepy over there.
Well, I will go check in with human resources before I appear
when
next.
When we talk about football players, we talk about measurements. Why not here?
You know what? I mean, equality is something we should probably work on here. You
equality?
Know? Right. Equality.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the measurements of the males who work in the organization. Why not the female? I see where you're getting at. What I will say is this. We will have to make sure that within her first, 2 weeks, she comes into the studio, right?
Oh, absolutely.
For the big intro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Andre, well, actually, you know what?
It's time
1:30.
For an announcement.
It's 1:30, so I promised a training camp announcement, and I'm going to hold myself to that promise. Patriots are announcing officially that training camp will open on July 26th. And I have the first 4 days scheduled for you. So
1 month from today.
26th, 27th, 28th, 29th schedule. Practice will start at 1:30 and go to 4 o'clock. So for those of you planning on getting here for the first few days of training camp, it will open on July 26th, and practice starts at 1:30 for the next 4 days after that.
So one practice each day, same time. Couldn't be more straightforward.
1:30 to 4.
1:30 to 4.
Yep.
Hot dogs and sausages.
That's right. And that's when you get to hear that announcement more than you ever, ever wanted to in your life.
And the 1 o'clock start time, is perfect for hot dogs and sausages. You arrive at noon, maybe even a little earlier, go to Patriots Experience, get your hot dogs and sausages, be sitting in your spot in time for practice to begin.
So you should be seeing that being tweeted out from Real Patriots and on Patriots.com any moment now.
Fantastic. 1 month from right now.
Yeah. That's
one
right.
month from right now.
That's why he did it at 1:30.
At 1:30. So exactly.
Wow.
Is that really why you did it at 1:30?
Kind of, yeah.
Was that on accident?
No.
On accident.
No, it was embargoed until 1:30.
No,
going to be embargoed
for that reason.
Until
we decided to announce it at 1:30
so,
for that reason.
I have 1 month left of my life.
Of freedom.
Yep.
1 month to the moment. Make the most of it.
So yeah. There,
a month from now it'll be February.
I know, Freddie. You think you could arrange to have another one of those parties, maybe a couple times a week until then?
Yeah, I know they're talking about some
maybe have some wings down by the garage.
Yeah,
I know they're talking about some enhancements to the training camp this year. I don't know which ones they'll implement, so I don't want to divulge anything. But you know, every year they try to improve it a little bit for the fans. So we'll see what they have in store this year.
And of course, you can always rely on the best, most in-depth training camp coverage on Patriots.com,
right.
Both with Patriots Today and with our text updates, both on the Patriots.com site and on the blog. And as always, Andy, Eric, and I will give you training camp podcasts daily.
And if you have
every day this practice, you'll get a podcast.
And if you have the Patriots app, there's a new training camp section within the app that aggregates all the training camp information in one handy area. So you want to download the Patriots app and, of course, Patriots Football Daily for the iPad. Right?
Sure.
Right.
Patriots Football Daily.
You're in
for
charge
iPad.
Of all the high-tech announcements, Freddie.
Andre in Panama City writes in, I just want to thank you, all of you, for helping me getting an A+ on my public speaking class. The assignment was to be a TV anchor. The tricky part was that the presentation had to last 4 minutes with a 10-second margin of error.
Oh, so Bilo must have been a great
right.
yeah, a great guide for you.
As my info had run empty and my timer marked 3 minutes and 50 seconds, I managed to pull the last 5 seconds to get into the margin of error with a long, all right. Everybody looked at me in an odd way, but it didn't matter. I got my A+, and it was thanks to PFW.
Wow.
Good job.
That's great.
Freddie was going to end it with the hot dogs and sausages.
Yeah, well, that would have been. He could have gotten even closer to 4 minutes.
Right.
Even closer.
Let's see. Christian from Denmark says, "Hey, PFW and B-Lo."
No Denmark accent.
In light of
Scandinavian twang,
I demand that you answer this upcoming season's most pressing issue: Does Eric have a chance with the new girl? We'll see.
Is
she single?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know the answer to these
questions.
You don't
know if she's single?
I don't know the answer to these questions.
All these girls, they come up here with this boyfriend that's back home.
I know. It's
imagine
ridiculous.
That. Attractive girls actually have boyfriends.
Yeah, but they're too young to be attaching themselves.
Right, and they're
going
to stay attached
and
when
you're too old
like
to be even worried about
away,
it.
I'll tell you this, as far as the Eric part of the question goes, she's a little taller, I think, than Lindsay. I don't know if that impacts
taller than me?
I think so.
Oh, that might
she
be a deal breaker.
Be. Yeah. She might be.
Wow. You won't go out with anyone taller.
No,
than
no. It's
you
just
even
that
have that as a requirement.
No, if you would let me
limiting
finish for once on
limiting
the show,
the pool,
Paul.
Huh?
He just loves to interrupt the whole time.
I'm
he just loves to hear
I'm not
going to
let you finish.
And I get
the fact that you even discuss these things. Go ahead.
He can't. He just can't help himself.
I can't.
I was going to say. I was going to say,
Matt,
before I was rudely interrupted, that the tall woman, short man things. You rarely see those things work. So that's automatically a red flag for anybody who gets involved in those things. When have you ever seen a tall woman, short man thing work? When? Name
I'm,
one.
I'm surprised.
Name
my wife
was taller than me.
Yeah. Actually.
All right, name one other
one. Significantly.
She is.
I'm surprised that you would take that stance and not give it a whirl. I'm not saying
I didn't
in this
say
particular,
I wouldn't give it a whirl.
How about in this particular
Stella
case.
And Mara?
Who?
What's his name? The guy Frank.
Jerry Stiller?
Jerry Stiller and Mara. She's
Ann
taller Mara? Than him. She's
is that her taller. Name,
Ann?
Ann Mara.
Yeah, they've been together forever, and she's taller.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Is Big Head's wife taller than Big Head?
No.
Andy?
I don't think so.
No, no.
Andy's
I don't
pretty
think,
short,
no,
though.
No, she's not.
No. My point is, you rarely see those things work.
Yeah,
I didn't say I wouldn't give it a whirl, Paul.
Because men have hang-ups, and they can't deal with it. That's why. That is why.
You don't think the women have any hang-ups?
Not as much as the men.
Really?
No.
Well, you know a lot of tall women?
I mean, other than not looking good in a prom picture, what's the difference? Your genitals meet. You know, as long as they're meeting in the middle.
And especially if you order fresh balls, that'll even only help the situation.
I mean, what's,
at freshballs.com.
Right?
At freshballs.com.
Right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the reality of our world is those things don't tend to last.
That doesn't mean it's right,
but,
Eric.
But wait a minute. How could you make a blanket statement? The reality of our world is those things don't last. Like, what research do you have on that?
Anecdotally, just look around. How many tall women, short men relationships do you see?
But how many?
Hardly any.
But how many possibilities of that happening do you know of? Like,
well,
I mean, how,
for the most part, men are bigger than women.
That's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an overwhelming
right.
percentage.
So, yeah.
I mean, I am not a tall guy, but my wife is shorter than I am. But I'm not tall. So, I mean, there's not that many different, like, I could never see painting myself into a corner one way or the other with that. Well, those never work.
Paul,
tall girls, short guys never work.
George Costanza gave it a whirl, didn't he? That worked out. That worked out one time.
But one of the
I think
the main reason
out.
It doesn't work
Remember,
is because men have a
it's
hang
It's not
up
a lie.
It.
You do.
Yes.
If you believe it.
You're ruling out.
I didn't
you're
rule anything out.
Anyone
Listen,
taller than you.
He
I didn't yell
at
that.
He already yelled at me for saying that, so don't say
I
it again.
I think you are.
I didn't say that.
You
I think he is too, but he yelled at me for
ask
that.
A woman taller than you out on
for not letting me finish.
You yelled at me because I said
you'd be very hesitant to ask a woman taller than you out on a date.
That's not accurate. That's not accurate, Fred.
You wouldn't be hesitant. I didn't say you wouldn't.
Not accurate.
It would cross my mind.
Okay.
But.
All right.
You could
be missing out on your soulmate.
It's quite an off-season alliance
yeah.
pad, huh?
I don't know too many tall women who like short guys either.
A lot of marijuana possession.
Most women like to have a guy who's taller than them.
When they're younger, yes. But I think once they get older, they don't give a you know what.
Damn.
Yeah,
heck,
if the person's a nice
hell.
Person, they don't care as much.
Of all the things that he said
I
earlier,
know,
in the
I know,
show,
right.
Now he's worried about his language.
Well, I was going to say something else besides damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think younger women, yeah, because they want to look good in the pictures and they want to wear high heels and they don't want to, you know. But I think once, you know, the proms are done and, the you know, all that stuff, they've had their first wedding. Or it's not so much a big deal.
Right.
Know? And I think that, you know, I think a woman.
I think it's time to leave Eric alone.
If a shorter man came up to
He's mad today.
You know, if a woman is mature.
I'm not mad.
If a woman is mature and confident about herself, I think she would look at a shorter man coming up and say, hey, this guy has no hang-ups. Because they know that.
Hey, this guy uses fresh balls.
They know that men want to be the taller and the dominant.
Freshballs.com.
But if you
right.
show right off the bat that, hey, that's not a big deal to me, that might be a check mark in your column. You never know.
Sure.
Is that how you looked at it, Fred?
I didn't really think twice about
Fred
it.
Fred did it the old-fashioned way, just like I did. He got set up.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't meant to be, but it turned out that way.
It wasn't meant to be, but it was meant to
well,
be.
Well, no. Oh. Yeah, it wasn't a setup. It wasn't like
I thought it was.
It was. I met through a friend, but it wasn't like, oh, I think you should meet this girl.
Oh, okay.
It just so happened we went out to eat together.
Did you know that there was going to be somebody else there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But it wasn't.
They didn't say,
so
oh.
So down deep he was thinking.
No,
that.
Absolutely
He just didn't
not.
Want to put any pressure
no,
on
No, no, no. Absolutely not. In fact,
was it in like a group
in fact,
setting?
In fact, afterwards
or?
He was reluctant to give me your number. And I had to force it out of him.
Really?
Did you go all Jake Steele on him?
Oh, yeah. I said, you give me that number or I'm going to beat
you. I'm a superhero. And I'm, you know.
So.
Was it just you two and the couple?
It was just three of us.
Oh.
Yeah. It was the three of us.
Wow.
No, there's no question in my mind then down deep. That's what
he's
thinking.
I guarantee
he just hasn't admitted it to you.
Well, maybe
he's too nice. He's too nice of a guy.
He said, "Oh no, I guarantee it." Well, maybe.
I'm sure that
he's
that,
too nice
that
of
was,
a guy.
That was not the intention. I know that.
Okay. Where is he, by the way? How come he usually goes to the parties? He wasn't there this year.
He gets out in 2 to 5 years.
Oh, good. as I rave about what a nice guy he was. he gets out in 2 to 5.
So he'll be at the 2017 party.
Maybe.
Maybe. No. Maybe the 2014. Definitely by the 2017.
Well, you never know. Below. Things can happen.
Unfortunately, so, Eric, I'll be there.
Don't let society's hang-ups affect you.
Thanks,
so
Fred.
That's the moral of the story,
thanks,
Eric.
Fred. Right.
So you don't have to yell at me anymore. You just listen to Fred. I stopped talking.
Eric, I'm sorry. I brought up the height thing. I'm sorry.
No, don't be.
All right.
Don't be.
You're right. You're right. You eliminated that. You eliminated that as a possibility.
Just go order your fresh balls at freshballs.com and
the fact
right
that she's 22 was not a deterrent, but the fact that she's 5'7", now that's a deal breaker.
Forget it.
I mean, think how hard it must be for those women in like the WNBA or those like volleyball players. You know,
no, there are a lot of tall guys out there.
There are, but
that's
it's tough.
That's a little. I mean,
it's tough.
Taller than me and Eric is not necessarily, you know.
No.
6'5".
But I'm talking
I think would look a little
but
silly.
But think about how hard it is for a 6'5" woman or a 6'4" woman to find someone.
I agree.
If she's worried about that, you know? So I don't think they're as much as you think they are, Eric. I think it's mostly us guys that are hung up about it.
Well, I know a fairly tall woman that we all know who is looking for a guy who's significantly taller than her. So that automatically rules her out of anything who's shorter than her.
Don't get him going. You know who he's talking about.
Mid-20s. You know who I'm talking about, so stop it.
Right. I said the younger ones tend to think
that
way.
And that only falls into your whole line of thinking, so let's just get off of that anyway.
Okay.
I think she's taller than Pepe and I, too.
No.
With heels on.
No. Well, maybe with heels.
I see her walking around in those.
All right. Enough. Idiot.
You're trying to get someone to wake Kevin up?
She is taller than Pepe.
No.
Close, if not.
No, don't be silly. When she wears flats, she's barely taller than you.
Oh, stop it.
They have to put a blinking light on her head so planes don't hit her.
She towers over me.
I call her Shaq.
She towers like over me.
Brian writes in, from what I gather, Mr. Hightower still hasn't signed with the team. Is that something we should be concerned about, or
no.
Is that nothing really worth spending any time thinking
Andrew
about?
Andrew Luck hasn't signed with his team either. There's nothing to worry
about there.
Nothing to worry about.
Why, though? Why hasn't he?
There's a few on either side of him that have yet to sign, is the last I saw. I don't know if that's changed.
Who, Luck? Or Hightower?
No. Hightower.
I think Hightower was the
There's only one side of Luck that
I,
could...
No. I thought... sorry. You're right. The last I saw, I thought there were like 8 in the top 10 who hadn't signed.
It's these
Hightower was the lowest of the group.
Updated since the last time I saw this, but there was like 2 or 3 before him and 2 or 3 after him.
Yeah, I think so.
Out of that 6 guys, there was like 4 of them that remained unsigned.
But there's no chance. There's virtually no chance.
It's gonna get locked into a slot. It's not gonna be
unlike 2-3 years ago and prior, the difference, I mean, it's almost slotted in, and the difference between what one side is probably talking about and the other side, we're probably talking about a couple $100,000. We're not
it's
talking
guaranteed
about multiple
money.
Millions. It's guaranteed money, but it's a relatively small amount that's the difference when we're talking about pick number 20, what was he, 27, 8, whatever he was.
It's amazing that I forget that
already. 26, I think it may have been. But 25? It's a 25. It's a very small amount that is probably the difference.
I'm getting the look from Flash.
Yeah.
I think it was 25.
Like 21 and 25.
But in the past, the hang-up was about years. And that's what used to make people, especially those late, latter part of the first round guys, were always looking to get fewer years. Well, now that's taken out of everybody's hands. It's a CBA rule.
Yeah, there's no negotiation.
The term
there
is automatically going to be the same, so now it's just a matter of that guaranteed money. And I think Bilo's right. I don't think it's anything significant.
And don't forget that usually around now, June 26th, no draft picks had signed in the previous, before the changes to the CBA. Usually these were all pretty much after 4th of July, and then you'd have one or two that around the start of training camp hadn't signed. And now, I mean, that Hightower is the only one who hasn't signed. I think tells you things are moving in the right direction.
Do you remember last year with the lockout?
Yeah, it was.
And it was not only all the guys that hadn't signed, they had to sign rapid fire as soon as
the
lockout
undrafted.
But all the guys that were tendered, like exclusive rights free agents that were tendered, restricted, like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Kyle Arrington, Matt Light, all these guys, if you were a free agent, you re-signed. What a nightmare.
It was mayhem, and it was about a, there was about a 48-hour period before training camp, when they could start doing this and training camp started. It was all spilling into training camp. Different deal now.
Josh writes in about dreams. He says, Paul, have you had the dream where you can't run or punch? It turns out that is because you were temporarily paralyzed during a particular portion of the typical sleep cycle. I have had that dream frequently, and I hate it. Not sure what sparks it, but it is apparently related to that period of the cycle where your limbs become non-responsive.
I thought for sure that there was a shot coming at some point in that email.
He actually wanted to seriously talk about dreams.
Yeah. And I know exactly the dream he's talking about. Yes, I've had it very
And you know
often.
What cures that? Fresh balls at freshballs.com. It's a cure for all this.
Fresh
kind of
balls
stuff.
And sausages.
Hot dogs and sausages.
There should be a, hot dogs should be a
and
sausages.
But I have had that, and you know the running thing happens all the time. I feel like I have that dream like three times a week.
Right? You can't run.
You're like in slow motion. But I have actually.
Sure, that's a dream.
Fred's not going to be surprised about this. I have had those dreams where you get in a fight and like you scream, and then like you go to punch someone and just there's
it's
nothing
just like
there.
A weakness. Or?
You can't do anything with it, and that makes sense. Your limbs are paralyzed. It's the same thing.
You know, your body really is trying to tell you to do it, and you're not doing it. Yeah. So that's reflected in your dream. My recurring dream, though, is the
this
one where
good.
I want to be
when I'm
able
Darth Vader.
I want to be able to dunk a basketball, and then gradually I'm able to do it, and then I want in every pickup game I'm looking for the opportunity to dunk the basketball. Then I'm flying, and then eventually it tapers down where I can't do it, and I wake up.
He even has to gay up his dreams.
Was it an 8-foot hoop, though?
No. 10-foot hoop.
Okay.
You know, but dunking a basketball is a dream of mine.
Well, now that you're 49.
A recurring dream.
Just so you know.
Now that you're 49.
It ain't going to happen without use of a trampoline. Yeah.
Unless I get some special sneakers with springs in them or something like that. Can you dunk Bilo?
No. Are you kidding?
No.
Are you kidding?
Bilo's deadly from about, 15 feet baseline.
Yeah. Can I dunk? Are you kidding?
You're 6'2". I mean,
right.
Yeah.
You're pretty close.
Bugsy Moogs did it, and he's like 5'9".
Or Muggsy Bogues.
Bugsy Moogs.
Muggsy Moogs.
Wub Sped did it.
Bugsy.
Did you do that on purpose? Moogs.
Wub Sped.
You didn't.
Wub Sped did it.
Wub Sped.
Wub Sped.
Bugsy Moogs.
I cannot come close. I couldn't dunk on
any. Can you grab the rim?
No.
You can't even grab the rim?
No.
Oh, you have no
white
ups.
No
stiff.
Ups. No ups.
Wow.
None.
If I was
Bilo could play, though.
If I was 6'2 in college, I would have been able to dunk. I had good ups.
I have no ups. No ups. No downs.
No downs.
No downs.
Not you're really. Just right there.
Just,
you're even
just right there. Even Steven.
Remy
I'm
from,
much of a rebounder then, huh?
Remy from Leon.
Not as good, right not as, good as I should be.
Fred's getting mad, guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop the foolishness.
Remy from Leon writes in.
Oh, this should be good.
Not Lion.
Nope, not Lion.
I was just wondering if you guys thought the Patriots might trade Hernandez next year if a team offers a good deal like
Hernandez.
A first-round pick.
Negative.
After all, we already have the best third tight end in football, and Ballard will be a good backup in 2013. Anyway, keep up the good work. And, oh, by the way, the fact that Andy puts his underwear full of crap in his sink still disturbs me.
Yeah, I agree.
As it should.
That was much more disturbing than any swamp
you're
ass
you're glad. Don't even ask for a recap, Beeler. You're
I'm
glad
not,
you don't know.
I am not asking.
So next year...
Would they trade
in the offseason, would they entertain
first?
Thoughts of trading Hernandez for a first?
For I would.
First? I would absolutely entertain that thought. Yeah. I think the Patriots would, too.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think because you would have a lot of knowledge, if you're the Patriots, and what it will take to get Hernandez signed. Because my guess is, perhaps even now, there are conversations going on between the Patriots and Hernandez representatives about doing something along the lines of what they did with Gronkowski.
Yep.
Clearly, it will be for less than what Gronkowski signed for. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is something to keep an eye on because my thought would be, from Hernandez's perspective, I'm not taking less than Gronkowski. Even though I can say he's a better player than I am, doesn't mean that I need to take less than he took. Because on the open market, he probably would get that.
Yep.
Somewhere else. So that's going to be a very tricky one to keep an eye on moving forward. And if that's the case, if you go from June 26th now to next year, and you haven't made any headway in terms of a contract extension, might not be a bad idea.
Right. And if he has a good year,
it would have nothing at all to do with Jake Ballard and Daniel Fells.
Right.
This would be maximizing my value for Aaron Hernandez, because I don't think those guys are they're backups. Those two guys are backups.
Right.
I mean, I know Andy likes to call Daniel Fells the best third tight end in football, and for all I know, maybe that's true. I don't know. But those guys aren't going to impact whether or not I do anything with Hernandez.
Right. If
I could re-sign Hernandez for a good deal, I would. But if I don't think I could.
Absolutely. And he was a fourth-round pick who, let's say he has another productive year, a fourth-round pick who gave you three productive years helping getting you to a Super Bowl and who knows what they do this year. And it's hard to tie up. Granted, Hernandez has more, you know, plays a little bit more of a wide receiver type of role. Hard to tie up two huge contracts at tight end if you can get that kind of value. I wouldn't trade him for the sake of trading. I wouldn't say, it doesn't look like we can sign him. Let's get two fits for him. I would never do that.
Especially if it's a bad team that you know is going to be bad.
But if you could get a first-round pick for him, I would do it
and
even if it was 32.
There's a quarterback coming out that you want, because eventually they got to start thinking about that.
Now, and Bilo just touched on something else. I think that Hernandez might consider himself a wide receiver.
And when you come start getting
and
to
that
franchise
drives the money
tag,
back up a little bit more. Now,
especially
franchise
if you start
wise,
getting into franchise.
That'll be something to keep an eye on. JerMichael Finley had that going with Green Bay. He was a tight end, and Green Bay, he fought, in terms of the stats and how many times he lined up out wide of the formation. There was some
What happened with Gonzalez? Did he ever use that?
Tony Gonzalez?
Tony Gonzalez. Did he ever, go for, I should get more because I'm more of a wide receiver?
No, it's not about how many passes he catches. It's where he lines up.
Where he lines up.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about how often he's used as a wide receiver. Gronkowski caught a million passes.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben Coates caught a million passes, but the majority of their plays come from inline tight end.
Okay.
But Hernandez has a significant percentage of his where he's split out in the slot.
So
JerMichael Finley was like that for Green Bay.
So it's about more where he's lined up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what position you're playing.
Yeah.
Richard Seymour used to do the whole thing about he wanted to be considered a defensive tackle for purposes of the Pro Bowl.
Right.
As a defensive end, without big sack totals, it's harder to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, the Pro Bowl.
Right.
So he wanted to consider himself a defensive tackle for Pro Bowl purposes. Then when it came contract time,
I'm
a defensive end in a 3-4. Right. I'm a 3-4 end. Well, you can't have it both ways.
Alex from Brazil says we're exactly right about the center and center, RE versus ER.
Oh.
Over here in Brazil, Alexander's name spelled Alexandra. RE.
Oh, he's in Brazil?
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry.
But all my English-speaking friends call me Alexandra. From now on, just Alex from Brazil. And if I get a good grade today, Alex from Brazil that bought us lunch.
Oh.
Oh, hey.
Oh. So any word on how we can get in touch with your professor so we can bribe him?
Right. He might listen. You never know.
No Brazilian accent, Freddie? You're really slipping late in the show.
Brazilian accent?
What's that?
I'm not sure what a Brazilian accent is. Just like sort
you've
of
heard Giselle talk, right?
Yeah.
Well,
that's kind of German.
A good portion of Brazil is Portuguese.
Portuguese accent.
But Giselle Bundchen is German.
Exactly.
But she has like a combination. It's got one of those. They have those hybrid European Latin accents that the kids in the clubs use. No, they do. They fake it.
In the clubs.
Says the experienced club goer of these days.
Right.
Yeah. They think that the more suave, Rico Suave.
You've been to the clubs lately?
Suave.
To hear the accents?
From what I hear.
From what I hear. He's plugged into that scene without being there.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Not a lot of people call during the offseason. Mostly email.
Yeah, we only had one call today, huh?
Yeah.
Joey
from Florida.
FLA.
Maybe they have lives. They're actually enjoying their summer.
It's been a very quiet time, a very short SPFW installment today. Not very many questions, so you can get those in next week.
But I'll tell you.
Good time to get your question in.
I came in on Monday, and I always,
lines are open.
I always check the stats for Patriots.com on Monday from what happened over the weekend. All of a sudden, I see this huge spike that happened on Sunday. I'm like, what the hell? What was going on Sunday? I didn't hear about assigning anyone or anything. So then I checked the stats, and they were all coming from Facebook. So I go to Facebook, and it turns out our social media director had posted, hey, if you're looking for something to do, play Cheer 365, you know, that game that we have. And everybody apparently did, because it drove a ton of people over to pages.com to play that game. So
as long as they didn't get driven there to see the photos of the party.
But which reminds me,
Fred's Party 365 didn't really get the hits.
If you've never played Cheer,
Kershapalooza.
If you've never played Cheer 365, you should. But coming soon is a player version of Cheer 365 called Player 365, where we have all the pictures of the guys with their helmets off, and the girls can.
It's only
choose.
Fair that Andy has one to use.
Yeah, the girls can choose who they think is the hottest. So that'll be coming up.
Huh? Hey now.
So, you know, Michelle in Stockholm and Sarah and all the other people, all our other female listeners will have their version of the 365 game.
Hot dogs and sausages.
Good, Kevin. One of his best drop-ins ever.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
One of his best drop-ins ever. So.
Oh, God.
That's good stuff. Let's see. Brian says no more Veet reviews. Well, we already stopped doing that.
He just wanted to make sure with that email that called in earlier, wrote in.
Natasha writes in.
Oh, well, we've got a good string of female writers today.
Emailers. But it's one of those dumb emails that weren't meant to us.
Oh,
good email.
It's one of those, you know,
spams.
I've reviewed your website and I have a few questions.
Yeah.
But I was a major bobblehead.
Brian says it was the Veet was overdone. You had one every couple of shows. You would have been able to stretch it out longer, but multiple every show simply burned it out, especially given this is a Patriots show. There's no need to forcibly interject humor into it. Your normal conversations are humorous enough.
Ah, I so agree.
So
we're funny. Even when the big head's not here, by the way. He takes credit for all that nonsense.
Well, he takes credit for everything.
That's true.
Josh wrote in before the show, agreeing with my whole thing about Catholicism. He doesn't like it.
When do we talk?
The last show.
Agreeing with my take on Catholicism, he doesn't like it. You are insane. Do you intentionally try to irritate like everybody?
Well, just being honest. It's all about honesty.
You're trying to alienate like as many different listeners as you can.
Look, I just think that the people that defend the Catholic Church are no better than the people that defending Joe Pa.
I think Eric's response to that last week was sufficient and right on the money.
We'll leave it at that.
I don't think people are defending the Catholic Church in terms of defending pedophiles. It's the church. You're not defending the people.
Church defended pedophiles.
Yes,
the church, but the church leadership.
It's not because of the church.
And believe me, that stuff didn't
happen. Don't blame the church for that.
It's been happening for hundreds of years.
But don't blame the church for it.
Institutional.
Bad people are bad people.
I blame the leaders of the church.
Yes, the leaders are people.
Right.
The church institution and what they believe in are a separate thing.
This is where you got it wrong.
Okay.
This is where the church is made up, Eric. Christianity isn't made up. The church is, okay? You can believe in everything that Jesus taught. You can believe in love thy neighbor. You don't have to be a member of the Catholic Church to do that.
You're right.
The church was built for power and to keep power and to keep those below them subjugated. And you don't need it in order to be spiritual or religious whatever.
Sure. That's completely.
So that's why I say.
But you blaming the church for bad people in the world is a stretch.
Oh, I think there's bad people that aren't religious. I think there's bad people that are religious.
I think that was Eric's point last week. I think a sound one. One of his only sound ones.
But I think that, I think at the...
I was going too positive there.
Bottom line is religion has caused more problems than it's helped.
Yeah, right. That sniff is...
And that's just my take. Those views do not reflect those of the Patriots or its affiliates.
I wish they would throw in the word necessarily in there, because I'm sure that there are people who agree with stances that we have on things.
Yeah,
not
but
necessarily.
They don't represent the Patriots. We represent ourselves on this show. Right.
Yeah, but I know Eric's point. They don't necessarily.
Contrary to what some major bloggers out there think, our opinions are not those of the New England Patriots.
But like who?
We don't
Pro Football
name
Talk.
Names. We don't want to name names. So, anyway. Bilo, thanks for coming by.
Hey, my pleasure. Listen,
must
thanks
be really
for,
slow at KSP.
Yeah, you know it is a little
archery
bit.
Practice?
It sort of is. Yeah, it's quiet. But hey, if this is the time where It should be quiet on the NFL calendar. Really, yeah. The only time. It's been a nonstop offseason.
It really has.
So we need a break.
It really has.
So, we need a break.
Because 1 month from right now, Paul, we'll be watching Patriots practice at training camp.
No, we'll be talking with the other members of the media and not paying attention to Patriots practice.
If they're not wearing jersey numbers at training camp, then yes, we'll be. We'll kind of tune
out. They better have jerseys in a month.
Yeah,
Fred, that's really going to throw a monkey wrench in our...
That wasn't part of your announcement, was it? What they'll be wearing?
Jersey numbers?
Yeah.
Will they have jerseys at all? Because they didn't have them.
I don't know.
Thursday.
Let's go ask the marketing department. I'm sure they have the answers.
All right. Well, I got things to do. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We will be back on Thursday at noon with another edition. Talk to you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.